Welcome back. Owner operators. Wait, let me hold on. Yeah, you got your owner operator out there.
I almost forgot what this one sounds like. Holy shit. We got Charlie the Woodline. There's fucking niggers everywhere. Oh man, there's fucking Holocaust going on. We gotta gas these fucking Jews. We gotta gas these motherfuckers. Gas them. Gas the niggers. Gas all of those motherfuckers. Hey.
All right.
I'm trying to find the one that's like,
listen here.
If you don't follow my
instructions, I'm going to fuck you up. Right? 10-4. They were having fun here on a Friday night, motherfuckers.
Just listen for the echo. Where am I at now? What the fuck? I feel like I'm in the... What's going on here? This shit. I'm underwater.
Listen. We're not fucking talking to you, nigger. I'm just saying.
Elon Musk is a weird motherfucker.
All right, we're having too much fun now. Yeah. you gotta take this thing away from me. I was just going to do a CB voice and all of a sudden. Because we are a great big convoy. Yeah, I love that song. Oh, C.W. McCall, man. It's good stuff. All right, so here's another test site. This fucking Tesla guys, man, these people are fucking unhinged. They're such retards. This one here stabbed his tire. He's a brown faggot. Look how he's got his hip, his ass all pitched out his hips. He's a gay. He's definitely a gay. He is a gay. I can't believe a faggot. No, Busco Crusader. This is just that's actually just stuff that I downloaded into my Elgato Wave XLR shit. Just filters into the mic. But I didn't think faggots carried pocket knives. I mean, actual faggots, the gays. Did you know a gay carries a pocket knife? 5-year minimum. Yeah, Cody TTO, we were showing all that stuff last night. That guy wiped his fucking ass crack and he slimed. He literally slimed a Tesla with ass juice and sweat. Do these people... Okay, so do these idiots not know now?
Bruh.
That a Tesla's cameras are always on. I mean, you walk up to a Tesla, you're on camera. 5 years, minimum sentence. I do want to take a look at some unhinged people. Here we got one right here. Let's take a look. What do we got?
Most people in this country voted for Trump.
It's a lie. The slim majority of voters, we are, shamefully, there were very few voters who showed up, but stop that bullshit. It is not a majority.
Not a
bullshit.
Not
he actually won the popular vote.
I am telling you, it was a slim majority of voters. Are you hearing me? Because I can sign it if you want. That is why you're not supposed to spread the bullshit that all, most Americans are looking for this. Because
well, people care, then they vote.
Few enough, because too few people voted. That's
what is wrong with their hair right now? I'm having a hard time with this lady's bangs. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should. That was that white power to talk about a woman's bangs? It's just creeping me out, man. She looks like a fucking Chucky doll that got gray hair and got angry and is a dyke Chucky doll. It's a fucking retarded dyke. Yeah, it's like, it's got to be a wig, man.
I am telling you, it was a slim majority of voters. Are you hearing me? Because I can sign it.
It was only a majority of voters.
That is why you're not supposed to spread the bullshit that all, most Americans are looking for this. Because
well, people care, then they vote.
Few enough, because too few people voted. That's a disgrace.
If people care about issues, then they vote.
Yeah, well, if you want
to... So the ones who cared voted for Trump to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse of government.
Because lots of voters...
It does. It looks like a fur hat. Look at this fucking... incel. Look at this faggot. How can you see with a mask on and glasses? I just like the way he says China. It's China. Let me see if I can get this working. Let me see. The output is going to go to stream. Is it? Or is it just going to go to Mike? Oh, I'm working on this. Because it's, oh, every time I try this, it echoes. So I'm going to try this real quick, but I got to find it. Let me see if I got this guy. Hold on. Are you kidding me? I have to upgrade for that shit? Hell no. Okay, not doing that. Well, that sucks. Well, never mind. I was going to do the Trump voice.
We're purged from voter rolls before the election.
This sounds familiar to me. It sounds like election denial.
You purged the illegal and dead people from the voter rolls.
Is that what you guys are doing?
Just stop.
Because I thought we weren't supposed to do that.
Just stop.
Yeah, so You just told me that. You just said this, right?
You know, the damage that is being done by the narcissist in that building, the people who...
Ooh, look how angry she is.
...who believe his bullshit. I know gaslighting when I see it and when I hear it, so just stop.
Okay.
Stop.
We don't have to talk to me. I'm actually on my way over here.
Man, she put her hands out. Boy, she tried a knife hand. She must be a dyke officer that was kicked out of the fucking forces. They're unhinged
this
everywhere.
This is not a safe space for MAGA. Not at all.
Do you hear that? This is not a safe space for MAGA. If you're MAGA, listen, all you guys out there, you know who you are.
I'm a MAGA faggot nigga that be fucking with Trump.
You are not safe around this woman here.
We like training butts. We like training butts. We like training butts.
Yeah, those guys are not safe around this woman. She said you're a fucktard.
This is not a safe space.
Wow. She needs to pluck. Is that facial hair? Is this fuzzy beard fuzz here? I think it is.
MAGA. Not at all. Not safe. If you don't want me to attack you, don't fucking make a comment.
She's gonna fuck us up. Don't make a fucking comment.
You guys are so fucking blind and so fucking hateful that it is making everyone hateful. Fuck off! Do not comment on my
What's
shit.
Up, Viking girl, 1488?
You suck. You are the scum of the earth.
Man, can you imagine letting someone have that type of power over your emotions? Is your stream bugging out? Mine is not. Maybe you should try the alt stream, maybe? Perhaps? Hey, if you want a double dose of HT, he's going live on two channels now. You've got the Egg Space Race and Recovery and the regular stream up. And over on Whitepilled, you've got... Oh, late night Whitepilled with guest Arnold Metzner. He'll kick your ass. I love that guy. Surprise with the Soggy Boys. Pretty cool dudes. And Politics Parallax with Night Nation Review. And of course, as always, we got our guy Gulag Kulak running the history and documentaries and Hot Pock. Got Friday music clips, and we love Hot Pock too. So if you get bored with my shit, you've always got other places to go. Let's watch this bitch. She's getting unhinged.
Is making everyone hateful. Fuck off.
This is why all these people are the ones who actually shoot up fucking schools and shit. These weirdos.
Do not comment on my shit.
I'm going to. I wish I could find it and I would comment on it, bitch.
You.
And then when you'd go live, we would raid that motherfucker with nigger tags. Oh my God.
You suck. You are the scum of the earth.
Do you guys ever find yourself, if you just see anyone with colored hair, you're just like, I hate them. You see someone's got like red fucking shit in their hair, blue, purple. You're just like, you're just walking. You just see someone. I hate them. I hate you. I don't even know you. I fucking hate you. If I see someone with purple hair, I hate you. Just hate you. You're done. You're never going to fucking talk to me. If you try to, I'm like, fuck off. You're fucking purple hair. The fuck out of here.
You're below the scum of the earth. And for when any one of you maggots that do comment, I'm going to automatically...
Ooh, maggots, man. She thought that was a really good own right there. She called them maggots.
Report it. Automatically, I'm going to fucking flag it.
Yes, the troll dolls.
Give me...
Dude, I had a troll doll that was like a good luck charm. When I played sports, I took it, I put it in my locker. I took it on the road trips with me, put it in the fucking... my locker on the road, and then when we played, it like set on the Gatorade fucking cooler.
Give me a try. I'm not even gonna fucking read what it says.
And I cut his fucking hair into a flat top.
Even if it's, oh, I'm sorry, you're a little upset, or even something that's semi-nice, I am reporting it. So fuck off. This is not a safe. This.
I was warned to stay away from brightly colored animals. For they are poison. Hell yes. That's right, nigger screen. Damn right. Great. That was an awesome, awesome comment. A blue-haired nurse? Don't let those people anywhere near you. They're going to fuck you up. Do you know that chink that's the mayor of Boston? Listen to her.
Every person, every human being has the legal right to come to the United States and seek asylum or shelter. And
no, they don't.
Every person, every human...
Look at her eyes.
...human being has the legal right to...
How she looks left and right because she knows she's full of shit.
...come to the United States...
Even though she's a chink.
...states and seek asylum or shelter and...
That's so tiny, but I just thought it was crazy. Okay? Just, what the fuck is wrong with these people? You don't have the right to come into the country. That's immediately it's illegal. Right. Great definition. Boy, the Jews. I bet she's married to a Jew. I would almost bet it, and I don't even know. Let's find out. Her name is Michelle Wu. Let's find out if she's married to a Jew. Okay, let's try it. All right. married to Marty Wall. No, that was the preceded mayor. My bad. Her spouse is Connor Pawarski. Pawarski. This is her husband's name. Let's find this out. Come on, we're on it. Let's figure this stuff out. We can do it. I need to know. There's a fucking kike in the woodpile. Who is Michelle Wu's husband? Connor Pawarski's job and kids. Can I get
oh my damn.
Can I get one of these? I didn't know it. I didn't know it, but I just follow the patterns. It's pattern recognition. We'll see what he does. He attended Yale and met at a Harvard-Yale football game. He relocated to Washington to help with her family crisis, whatever that is. She went back to Boston, attended Harvard Law School, and he accompanied her, whatever he was doing. They got engaged. Okay. He's a banker. He's a banker. Oh, my gosh. Of course he's a banker. Are you serious? He's a banker. Hey, he's a stay-at-home parent banker. He's banking from the... He previously worked for Wells Fargo.
Oh, my damn.
You know, this is going to need some... Should have had this handy right here. See, when you're doing your little automatic stuff, you need to have this right here. Just handle, you gotta have it. We spot the Jew. Yes, yes, we spot the Jew. We spot the Jew. Tell him, Vivian. Wow, man. Well, that was a nice little, we found that shit. So no wonder she thinks that you should come in and then ask for asylum. Biatch, we don't care about your shit. Stupid gook. What do you do on Fridays normally? I visit Hyperborea on Fridays.
Conflict will shift to a definitive race-based conflict, whereupon fascists will strive to hold their ground at home and form the front lines of the broader conflict.
Individual nation no longer exists, that we are a borderless mass of nothing. That is their goal, and we must never forget that.
Bruh.
White power, white fucking power. You know the thing about Hyperborea, if we ever do get there, I guarantee you that is not
run by Jews.
Don't you think that's right, Black Hawk Bill? Shit. Woo, easy on the soundboard, Tank, and shit. I love Friday nights, man. It's a weekend. My grandchildren are in there sleeping in my home. That's fucking awesome. And in the morning, I'm going to wake up and there's going to be, it's going to be, I don't care. When your grandkids are in here, I'm like, yep, I know I only eat from 4 to 8. I know it's Lent. Let me get that strawberry donut, young man. Let's have it. Pray for forgiveness. What's up? I love it, man. I love it. So I'm so happy. Happy as fudge. And tomorrow is my granddaughter's birthday party. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Wipe out. Yeah, man. They call me Peepaw. And I'm 49. And she is something. Boy. And she loves... I'm telling you, man, I love watching my wife with her granddaughters. We have two. And one lives on a little homestead. She's a country girl. She has goats, chickens. They get the eggs. They're bringing eggs tomorrow. She's bringing Nini and Peepaw. She calls me Pulpul. She's bringing Nini and Pulpul Tank. Bringing us some fresh eggs from her chickies. And then my other one is a princess. Just a princess. And it's awesome, man. And if you think that I'm not going to sit down and drink some imaginary tea out of a tiny little cup, you're out of your damn mind. I'm going to drink the hell out of that stuff. I'm going to be like, pinky up. Woo, that's some good tea. I can't wait. And we got them little kitchen set. We got them the kitchen. I mean, they got fully functional. I mean, it's an awesome kitchen. Two ovens, dishes, you all this organized stuff. And the two granddaughters, they're playing. One of my grandsons, who's older, a little bit older. They're all young. So he goes over there and he starts messing around the cooking stuff. Now, because I'm retired and my wife is not retired and I love to cook, I do most of the cooking. Now, there are things I can't begin to cook. And I'm like, hey, honey, this weekend, can you cook? But she bakes. She can bake. Some woman can bake. Oh, she can bake. Man, it's like art. Sometimes I don't even want to eat it. It's so good. I said, where did you learn to do this? She taught herself. Trial and error. But I said, okay, he's trying to cook in the girl toy thing. What do? I go to Walmart. Yes, I wish I could have went to some local toy store. And I got a toy Weber griddle, man, with the coals and the crackling coals that glow and you can hear the sizzle. It got steak and chicken, full grill, man. Man stuff. I said, let's go. And I got him a tool set, a workbench, the toy workbench, man stuff, girl stuff. We don't play that. Well, you can play with the kitchen too, boys. No, not in this time in their life. When they're 18, if they're in college and they want to cook for themselves, if they're a teenager and they're like, hey, mom, dad, I would like to learn to cook. I'd like to cook you dinner. I want to learn how to cook. Oh, cool. That's awesome. When they're kids, nope. You're going to learn how to play with power drills, toy power drills, hammers, saws. Here's a fucking toy Husqvarna with a pull chain. That's the kind of shit you get those grand boys. And they're about to get their first bows from old Pawpaw. You know, they're ready for archery. They're ready for a training bow. Anyway, so it's just really cool. I don't know how I went from the Hyperborean. Oh, because I'm having such a great time on a Friday. Yeah, I'm in a good mood. I've been in a good mood. I just get sick and tired of bullshit when I feel like I'm being preached at all day by people who have never felt the joy that I've felt, haven't truly experienced some of the things that it takes to get to a certain level of manhood in my own eye. Trust me, if any man out there that is even half the man of Adolf Hitler comes out as a lifetime bachelor, I'll follow him into hell. I will. That man does not exist. I haven't seen him. So I prefer the other things. You learned to cook. Oh, you know, you got a toolbox when you were 10? Shit. I love charcoaling. Viking girl bakes swastika cookies. She'd do it for me. When I told you, Polar Beard, his wife made me some ceramic swastika coasters. Awesome. White with just a beautiful black swastika. And I had them under the coffee thing. I'd pull one out for myself. I'd bring one out here sometimes. But you guys, if you don't know yet, my wife and I, because like she goes to bed at 9, I'm out here streaming. For all you people that have doxxed, don't even try it. That woman is armed to the teeth right now. And the alarm set. I disarm it when I go in. Anyhow, so we have a different schedule, but when I go in, before I go to bed, I'll upload the stream. I'll go in, double check everything, and I get her coffee cup in the coffee maker under the Keurig. We use a Keurig. I'm going to get a French press again because I lost mine. I lost the top of it. And I might leave a note, and I'll pull like a pot and have it ready, make sure the water's full. And she does the same thing for me. And so one morning I go out there and she has the spoon laying on, because we have clean spoons on a paper towel and usually a little plate, but it was on the swastika. And I was like, well, looky there. She got my swastika out and put it there, put my spoon on it for my morning coffee. That's fucking awesome. That's awesome. So I want to talk to you, going from Hyperborea. Apparently, archaeologists have found something under a Giza. They have some press release to the world about it. And then I'm going to have to go and look after this to find out what's really going on. As this starts, the first minute, I might not comment because I'm going to take a whiz outside of my shop, not on the wall. I have a large, large place. You guys saw the picture. I got trees back here.
Press release. Giza. Discovery of an underground city. The legendary Amenti. Good evening and welcome to Expedition, the official channel of the Khafre Project. This is announcement number 2, and as the head of communications for the research project, I will now read to you the official press release of the Khafre Project, which has just been distributed to both Italian and international media. Here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, it is with great enthusiasm that we officially announce today and our research team has succeeded in identifying a vast underground city beneath the Giza Plateau, which corresponds to the legendary Amenti. This city is mentioned in ancient texts as a place linked to the universal knowledge of humankind and its ultimate spiritual transformation. This extraordinary achievement has been made possible through the processing of SAR data obtained from Capella Space satellites. A pioneering technological approach to archaeology. The uniqueness of this discovery lies not only in its immense historical and archaeological significance, but also in the innovative method employed. Thanks to ultra-high azimuth resolution radar imaging achieved through specialized spotlight acquisitions with long Doppler integration, we have been able to extract precise acoustic information. In particular, the satellite.
What did I miss? I missed a minute and 27 seconds. I was running.
Light data has been processed using a groundbreaking technique, Doppler tomography, developed by Professor Filippo Biondi, an internationally renowned expert in synthetic aperture radar, interferometry, and multichromatic tomographic analysis.
This is boring as shit.
This patented methodology
There's a Rinse video on it. Oh, wait, I got it. Thank you for that. That's what I'm talking about. I love you guys. Mason Flint, man, there you are. Hey, it's worth another watch. We'll watch it in a minute. We watched your videos. We watched both your videos. Hang. Everybody, Roman's in the chat for Mason Flint, one of our favorite fucking activists. You're all our favorite activists. A real motherfucker. A real fucking activist.
Let's go. Let's go.
A few shekels for the stream. The Wednesday show was awesome. I like learning from you and PG5K. Talking white power. Thank you, Tank0/.
Busco Crusader, thank you too, man, and I appreciate it. I got to get Flint on the show as well. Next Friday, I got to have Volksview. Hey, right here live in front of everybody. Hey, two Fridays from now, would you be available to come on the show and talk about activism, White Lives Matter, and everything? The Friday night White Power conversation, where it's not an interview, it's chop it up. Yeah, I ask questions. That's just because I'm trying to get to know you. You're going to hunt with me one day. We're going to garden. We're going to talk gardening. Yes. So, shit, you know what? Next Friday, I'm going to reach out to Volksview and say, because we haven't got a hold of each other. If you can do it next Friday, that would be awesome. That way we can lock it in, and then I can work on the Friday after that. That's how I do it. I'm not a pro. I'm no professional. I'm a professional shit talker. But anyway, let's, no pressure. Let me look at my Rolodex. Let's get to this video and let me go to full screen. I wonder what's under them things.
Corrado Malanga from the University of Pisa and Filippo Biondi, involved in radar and remote sensing research with the University of Strathclyde, published peer-reviewed research in 2022 via MDPI entitled Synthetic Aperture Radar Doppler Tomography Reveals Details of Undiscovered High-Resolution Internal Structure of the Great Pyramid of Giza. Their research was conducted using SAR data, synthetic aperture radar, along with proprietary software developed by Filippo Biondi that transforms the radar signals into phononic information, which allows for the detection of millimetric...
I've seen something like this.
...vibrations. This cutting-edge technology is capable of revealing underground structures invisible to traditional methods and revealed internal structures never seen before. Having established their expertise in using SAR to explore pyramid structures non-invasively, a recent press release on their current project was released last Saturday. This March 15th press release summarized the key findings in the team's research of the second largest pyramid of the Giza Plateau, known as the Khafre Pyramid, and what they found was astonishing. The analysis of dozens of tomographic SAR images obtained from different angles enabled the 3D reconstruction of inside the Pyramid of Khafre and deep beneath the surface of the plateau. Near the base of the pyramid, five identical structures are seen, connected by geometric pathways. Inside each of these are five horizontal levels and a sloping roof. Below these five structures are eight cylindrical structures, which appear to be vertical wells, hollow inside, and surrounded by descending spiral pathways. These eight vertically aligned cylindrical structures, arranged in two parallel rows from north to south, descend to a depth of 648 meters, where they all merge into two large cubic structures, measuring approximately 80 meters per side. The entire structure extends approximately 2 kilometers beneath the surface and extends beneath all three pyramids of the Giza Plateau complex. Mainstream Egyptology tells us that the Giza pyramids were tombs for pharaohs Khufu, Khafre, and Menkaure, and that they were built around 2500 BC using ramps, sledges, and levers. But the redundant mathematics in their construction, which include pi, the golden ratio, and the speed of light, along with the testimony of today's expert architects, suggests that the official story does not hold up. The massive underground...
Man, I'm not... This is something I just... Hold on. Some nigger just tried to get in my car with two babies and no car seat. I told him no, and he looked like me like I was crazy. I said it's against the law. What the fuck is wrong with these people? Man, you know what Philip would say? He would say,
nigger!
That's right, Philip. Stay safe out there, Viv. Well, we know Viv is safe. But anyway, I'm not interrupting this because it's crazy. And now I want to know more.
Structure so revealed by something. The recent SAR data.
This is how this works. Now I'm already going to look for something else. Doesn't matter what's in the stream folder. My mind takes me. I want to find a video.
Shows what appears to be a mechanical or functional system. And this has been hypothesized in the past. Nikola Tesla believed that the pyramids could harness Earth's natural frequencies. This arguably inspired his experiments in wireless energy transmission and scalar waves. In The Giza Power Plant, Christopher Dunn argued that the Great Pyramid was a power-generating machine using resonant and acoustic forces to convert mechanical stress into electricity. In The Giza Death Star, Joseph Farrell proposed that the Great Pyramid of Giza was a weapon of mass destruction using a type of physics that he calls paleophysics to focus energy as a scalar weapon. The cylindrical wells could be conduits for energy or sound waves, and the cubic structures might serve as energy storage or stabilization units, akin to components in a large-scale weapon or generator. And the detection of vibrations in the pyramid's internal structures reflects all of these ideas. The Khafre project hopes to plan an excavation in order to discover more about this underground structure, but history shows that this will be very difficult to get approval for. Greg Reese reporting.
Man.
The Reese Report is now fully funded by my Substack subscribers. Subscribe today and support my work at gregreese.substack.
That was awesome. I thought that was a new one. I know I've seen a video, and I don't know if it was on Odyssey or Rumble, and now I'm looking, and it was really cool. It showed photos that I've never seen inside the pyramids. I'm trying to find it. Son of a buck. Of course, I would have to download it if it was on Odyssey because we know how that works. They was dick washers and shit. Let me see. We'll just see what comes up here. No. Ancient aliens, no. No. Ah, faggot. I know it's not what we think it is. There's no way. It's impossible. Unless we was giants and shit. Was we giants and shit? So, I mean, we could have been. You guys know about the ceasefire going on, right? We got some Odessa action here. Make sure that this is on mono. It is. Sorry for those. I love my lunch break. I love my lunch break. And I was just looking for the My Lunch Break Giza episode, but I didn't have time. The Giza Death Scar. Man. Ancient Aryans. The white race is superior. We was giants and shit, building pyramids and things, man. We was at him fucking Solomon had a seal to build a temple and shit, man. We was just some white giants, man. Fucking throw them stones and shit. Then they scrunk us down.
And Ukraine accused each other on Friday of attacking a major Russian gas pumping and measuring station.
Okay, that's fucking not loud at all, so. I'm not going to talk during this. I'm going to put the game filter on.
...near Suja. Despite a US proposed moratorium on strikes on energy infrastructure by either side. This video posted on social media was said to show the fire in a part of Russia's Kursk region that Moscow's forces recaptured.
I mean, I really don't need to have a gain filter on to just show you what you're seeing here. So it's a ceasefire. This is a fucking oil refinery in Odessa. Man, I love all that crazy stuff. My lunch break, I could sit there and just say, you guys want to riff and watch some My Lunch Break shit? And I'd be like, 17 hours later, I'd say, I got to go get some more water. Yeah, you know, I mean, that stuff is fascinating to me. So it doesn't look like the ceasefire is going too well. You know what else isn't going too well? This lady.
Not safe.
Okay, I couldn't help it. She was so horrible. So horrible. All right. That woman was fucking hilarious. We do have other shit to actually talk about. I want to talk about this guy. Come on, VoxView. Please have the video. He does. All right. But let's hear what he has to say. Did he have any? Did he have a comment? Did VoxView comment on it yet? Nobody made this funny. Let me drop this link. Shout out. There's Arnold Metzger. He'll kick your ass. You've watched every Ted Gunderson speech? It's time to go on some deep dives. But this guy here is not a cool dude. He's a fag, actually. And he's going to go off. This guy loves him some Jew cock.
Okay, I've made several videos like this over the past year and a half, so let's do another one. If you're anti-Zionist, you can go fuck yourself.
Why did you look away when you said that?
Videos like this over the past year and a half, so let's do another one. If you're anti-Zionist, you can go fuck yourself. That.
He didn't finish it off. You can go fuck yourself. Are you sign of weakness one? He's a fake alpha male, right? He's a fake guy. He spends more time on his beard than he does his fucking engine. Okay? He takes his fucking he's never changed his own oil, and he spends more time on his beard than he does walking around his vehicle before he takes a two-hour drive.
That's right. If you say, I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm not anti-Jew, I'm anti-Zionist, eat every dick until the end of time and then...
I am anti-Jew. All of them, you faggot.
And eat some more in hell. Because guess what? I'm a Zionist. I believe...
Did you see that? I'm a Zionist. What a faggot. I think he definitely is like the guy that puts his fucking name in the bathroom stall at the truck stop. That's what this guy does right there, like in that Dumb and Dumber movie.
I believe that the Jews have a right to live in peace in their ancestral homeland. And that's what Zionism is. So when you...
It's not their ancestral homeland either. We can go on for days. Do a DNA check, nigger.
Say, I'm anti-Zionist. You say, I'm anti-misfit. And if you're anti-misfit, get fucked. Yeah, I'm an American patriot and Christian Zionist, and yes, you can be both.
Look at his expressions. I really want to fucking... I want to beat this guy in the face with my fists, for real. Like, no disclaimer, I want to punch him in the fucking face. That's how I feel in my heart right now I want to punch that fucking dude right in his suck hole.
Because I read the Bible, and I love my country. See, I'm not going to fucking...
Oh, man, what a faggot. Oh, yeah, I'm glad we finally got through that one. I didn't know if I was going to fucking make it, man. I didn't know if I was going to make it through that clip right there. Why? I keep vanishing over here. What a faggot that dude is. What a retard. What a little pussy. You know, I blame JFK. All right? All JFK's fault. Because he didn't go through with what he was supposed to, which was end communism in Cuba, kick the Jewish propaganda, kick the Jewish machine out of Cuba. He didn't end the Federal Reserve, although for 1 year we printed our own money. And he let, and he did, he got killed for it, right? So I want to play this speech about the anti-communist speech where he says, Ich bin ein Berliner. Because, you know, the JFK, the redactions have been in the news. And I just, I've been meaning to talk about it for two nights in a row. But so I want to start with this, his anti-communist speech from June 26th. 1963.
There are many people in the world who really don't understand.
Okay, so I should have, I'm going to back it up. Jews and Catholics hate each other. I know his father did business with Jews. I know that all these businessmen were fucking doing business with the Jews. I know he's not his father. I know his father got him elected. I also know he was at war with Jews and their interests, to include unions in the mafia, his entire presidency, and so was his brother at other levels, and they were murdered by Jews. So I do think it's safe to say he hated them. And I also think, now, with that in mind, and with these redactions and Israel begging to not have certain things uncovered and the CIA not wanting them uncovered, when he's talking in this anti-communist speech, I want to hear him Jew name with that. I mean, I know he didn't. Knowing what we know now, I want to kind of see if he's like, I'm fucking fed up with these Jews. Let's hear what he has. Let's see.
There are many people in the world who really don't understand, or say they don't, what is the great issue between the free world and the communist world.
It's Jews.
Let them come to Berlin. There are some who say that communism is the wave of the future. Let them come to Berlin. And there are even a few who say that it's true that communism is an evil system, but it permits us to make
Judaism
economic progress. Lass sie nach Berlin kommen. Let them come to Berlin.
Don't you know, there are so many people they hate communists, they hate Jews. And they were feeling like, yes, Fuck these Jews, not just communists. Fuck these Jews. Fuck these Jews. That's what they're all thinking. Let's see if we can see some Romans. I bet there's a Roman in there like Waldo. Find the Roman. Got to be a Roman in there.
Freedom has many difficulties. And democracy is not perfect. But we have never had to put a wall up to keep our people in, to prevent them from leaving us. While the wall is the most obvious and vivid demonstration of the failures of the communist system, for all the world to see, we take no satisfaction in it, for it is...
That is a base fucking hat, man. Zhoo!
As your mayor has said, an offense not only against history, but an offense against humanity. Separating families, dividing husbands and wives and brothers and sisters, and dividing up people who wish to be joined together. Freedom is indivisible. And when one man is in...
Just think of how fucking horrible that was. To split that fucking amazing country that so many of us Americans have ancestral ties to in half. It had already been drawn down into what is Germany now. And then to split it in two, or not in a complete, but awful, fucking awful. I'm going back a little bit because I interrupted it. It's a great speech. I'm sorry for interrupting JFK.
...and brothers and sisters, and dividing up people who wish to be joined together.
What's up, my dog bites niggas?
Freedom is indivisible. And when one man is enslaved... All are not free. All free men, wherever they may live, are citizens of Berlin. And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein Berliner.
Get that man a coffee. Coffee's for closers, and that was a fucking close right there, man.
Ich bin ein Berliner. Ich bin ein Berliner. Ich bin ein Berliner. Ich bin ein Berliner.
First fire 508. I wish. Yeah, Patrick Syop, that's really cool channel. So Ich bin ein Berliner. So here's a look. I'm not some pro. I don't have these world changing takes. And just tank, right? I am the 14 words. Yeah. rather regardless of men of flaws, but, you know, we had a president that fucking was standing up not only to international jury, the banking system. He admired Hitler, said that it history would tell him to be a great man. Why? Why? That's how I feel. And I've never been a Kennedy enjoyer. Like, I've studied history the way that it's been given to us. I want to know more. I know that he hated unions. I know he hated almost everything Jewish. I know he was fighting the Federal Reserve. I know that he said USAID, well, or not USAID, whoever AIPAC was, the predecessor name of it, the Jewish League or whatever the fuck it was, I don't know. They needed to be foreign agents. He said, no, you don't need fucking nukes. And whatever you're doing over there, we want to see it right now. And then he was killed. That's what I know to be a fact. And I do believe, follow me here. We've been trying. Look, the Holocaust code is cracked as far as the math doesn't add up. But there's Holocaust museums everywhere. New movies every day. I mean, all these fucking movies is just overwhelming, saturating. We're still chipping away. Gen Z's not stupid. Doomers. But do you know how beloved Kennedy is to boomers? They were in high school when he got killed. I mean, you can show a boomer a picture of Kennedy and watch them melt in front of your fucking face. I remember where I was that day. Where were you when Kennedy's face got blown off that November day? From magic bullet at the book depository, and then it went astray. But if you crack that code, you fucking unleash these Jews because of this, and this. He did it so fast. He's like, this is bullshit. Boom. Link him. Prove it. All the files are actually redacted. The boomers go, oh my freaking Lord. These Jews, they killed Kennedy. And they've been lying about it. They made all these movies because why? I saw that. Because why? Why?
Every single aspect of Hollywood is Jewish.
Are you serious? I need to look into it. And then the Holocaust is done. And then their days are numbered. I think that could happen. Hey, it's half full, man. Don't come here to get black-pilled or cry. Don't come here for me to cry about someone calling me names. No, I'll call them a faggot. I'm not going to cry about it. Took away my money. Retro Archives learned Zapruder film. Zapruder was Jewish. Wow, that's cool, man. Okay, so where I'm going with this is we're talking about Kennedy, and our good loudmouth Ernie Rolando has got a little clip, and it's got Andrew Napolitano. The reason Andrew Napolitano is not a Supreme Court justice is because he cannot be bought by Fox News. They fired him because he would not be owned.
Donald Trump knows who killed President Kennedy. Following his former Supreme Court Judge Andrew Napolitano recounting a private conversation with Donald Trump on the Kennedy assassination. After the judge is Donald Trump himself in the Oval Office press conference upon the release of the Kennedy files. Listen to his public response when asked who killed Kennedy. He's changed his tune. We figure Trump is protecting someone or something who has frightened him. Watch and decide for yourself.
You know, Trump said many times in public he's going to release the full JFK report. And when he called me, one of his many phone calls from the White House towards the end of his term to talk about pardons, I said, I got to ask you something, Mr. President. What? What? When are you going to release the JFK assassination report? You only have two. And when he called me, one of his many phone calls.
All right, you fucking faggot, Trump. Okay, so. Man. I still got a few cans of this left, but I'm gonna switch to these. I miss them. They're a little more expensive. I got to think about it. I got to think about it because my friend tells me he gets these things for the same price I get these. So I just got to look. But I would bet my left testicle that old Judge Napolitano told Trump to pardon the J6ers. I guarantee you. I need my nicotine first, fire. He looks like Pauly. You Pauly. You Pauly.
I'm a MAGA faggot nigga that be fucking with Trump. From the White House towards the end of his term to talk about pardons.
Yes. I wonder if he asked to. Now, I am going to try some of that Swedish snus, S-N-U-S, that's actually tobacco. It's like so finely shot. Like, it's not like it's literally just tobacco and flavoring. I don't know how they flavor it. But it's not like dip where you have to spit. It's just like you just gut it. I'm going to try it.
I said, I got to ask you something, Mr. President. What? When are you going to release the JFK assassination report? You only have 2 weeks before Biden comes into office. You promised it. You promised me personally and privately, and you promised the public many times. You know what he said? Judge, if you had seen what I saw, you wouldn't release it either. What did you see? I can't tell you. Sometime, and of course, there are too many people listening to this phone call. He's saying this to me from the Oval Office. Sometime when we're alone, I'll tell you what I saw. What could he have seen? What did they show him to terrify him out of revealing what the government knows about the murder of JFK and who was responsible for it?
Any questions?
Mr. President Trump, 8,000 pages of documents is a lot to sift through. Yeah. Can you just tell us who killed Kennedy?
With the Kennedy files, in particular, they were going crazy on. I don't think there's anything that's earth-shattering, but you'll have to make that determination.
There you go. We say the Kennedy files we've been given have been scrubbed of the real JFK killer culprits, and Trump knows it. We too know who killed Kennedy and why. They own Donald Trump. It's why it's imperative for all the files of Israeli Mossad asset and sexual blackmailer Jeffrey Epstein to be released complete and unredacted. We need to know who has the Epstein blackmail tapes. After the Kennedy files whitewash, we're not holding our breath on the Epstein files. The bad, bad people of John 8:44 are in control of America.
You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar, and the father of lies.
Very surprising series of letters between Kennedy and David Ben-Gurion, not only the prime minister, premier of Israel, but the founder of Israel, in which they're very angry letters, in which Kennedy is saying to Ben-Gurion, I'm killing myself trying to get a nuclear test ban treaty. I've even got De Gaulle on board, and that's impossible. And you keep testing in Dimona. You've got to stop. And Ben-Gurion, thank you. In so many words, says, it's easy for you to say sitting in Hyannisport. I'm sitting with the Arabs all around me, and you want me to give up nuclear testing. And Kennedy threatens him. And he threatens him in such a way that Ben-Gurion resigns. And I will tell you that I found articles, not in any crackpot publications, but in very sophisticated publications saying, forget Lyndon Johnson, forget the CIA, forget Fidel Castro. The Mossad killed Kennedy because they were so upset over what he did to Ben-Gurion.
That was good, man. That guy was tape. Jews are Satan's demon spawn physically on earth. I totally believe it. I believe it. And if your faith doesn't jive with Satan, then they are the bad of whatever your faith says they is. That's why we the darkness to your light. The Jews are the darkness to your light. Correct. My light is Christ, the Redeemer. And the darkness is Satan, a physical being. He. But I'm not going to talk about that. I want to talk about these Jews killing these motherfuckers. But let me find this real quick. Holy moly. Here we go. Look at that.
Bruh.
Nice one, Face and Flynn. I haven't seen that picture until just now. Good catch. Whoa, it's microchip shit, man. So, it is 12:55 a.m. Central Time. It's Tanklin. Coming to you live on GoamTV.com. White Pill TV. Thank you very much. Viking Girl, White Race Only, Nigger Screen, Arnold Messner, Cody TTO, and Annie Gov. Hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going. I'm still streaming here. And on Rumble is an auto stream, and there's six folks over there. Six. Oh my gosh. Entropy and X. Now listen, there's 57 whopping viewers on X. Most of them are probably in space, which is cool. Make an account, join the chat. It's a free speech zone, okay? I don't care if you don't like somebody in the platform or whatever. That doesn't matter. This is a platform that hosts my show. And I interact with the chat, and you would have a lot of fun. And just if you don't like somebody that is in the platform, just don't talk about them. It's my show is about, not about other people. Unless they piss me off. And hey, man,
bruh,
they're like,
really, nigga?
Yeah, okay. Most of the time, it's not about other people. On Wednesdays, it's Paperboy and I show. Normally on Friday, I have a guest, and I fucking blew it because I had basically a vacation. So, I want to talk about GoamTV.shop where you can get other flyers. You can get flyers. You can get flyers that are already folded. We've shown you the kite flyers. You've seen some base videos. You can get 500 of these bad boys. You can sit there in the notes, even send an email to old Ned. Ned's a hardworking dude for the race. And say, hey, man, just send me immigration and gun control. Can you do that for me? And he'll be like, boom, you got it. 500, wham, stick. $50 plus 10 shipping is the flat rate. 10 shipping is a flat rate. I don't know about oversized stuff. In the continental United States, I'm still an asshole because I do not know what it is to ship out of there up to Alaska where our dude, Honda Ricer 85, everyone knows that. He's already said it, okay? I'm not doxing him. It's half the size of America. Good luck finding that base, motherfucker. But get that folder rolling. Get some flyers and get out there, man. It's awesome. Know who your audience is. Select your flyers. Order them that way. You can do it with Brando and Kite Flyer as well. You can say, hey, I just want can you send me a thousand of these things, you know? They got all these barcodes and stuff on the back, right? Just WL. These things are awesome. You know what? These little guys here can fit all over the place. Look at that. Whoop. Whoop. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. You know what? I got to get a fanny pack. Bring back the fanny pack, men. We need to get fanny packs made with tanks and Swazis. I want tanks with the Africa Corps emblem on a fanny pack that I can put flyers in. Can somebody make it happen, Captain? Who's a crafty person? Maybe I should talk to Ginger Snap. Send her some money and say, can you do this in leather? Hey, I'll rock that shit because it's also going to have boom, boom, pow, pow in it. boom, boom, pow, pow. Don't forget about barcode stickers. All right. So we're about to watch. Okay, what else is in there? Oh, man. You know what I haven't talked about? I'm sorry. I need to talk about this. Oh, by the way, Jew-Hater-187 is live. Okay. He's kicking ass, too. He's awesome. He's funny. And just in case you wanted to know. But I want to talk to you about Bigot Smalls. And this place right here, okay? So, dang it. I've got to grab it. LFG Crew. All right, check this out, man. Let's blow this up. Full page. He puts all kinds of stuff on there. You might not like some of the stuff he puts on there. Doesn't matter. He puts stuff you like on there. He compresses them down to MP3s. You can listen to them. All right? Look at all these. He's got all kinds of bass shit in here. Home of the Chalk Waffen. See, let's say, okay, I'm going to hear a Rage Cast. All right, let's play. Play, play, mofo. Is it not playing? I know they work because everybody listens to them. Oh. I must have muted that on my mixer. It's a different input. It's an input that I have to put in my mixer. But anyway, let me get back over. Dang it. Let me get back over to that page. But you can find, so you're like, well, you don't want to use all your data and you're just going to listen to the show. Scroll on down here and you've got Gahari. Texas Vet, Lerman, MRJ, G-Man, Warren Baylaw, Insomnia Streams. He's even got the PatCon edition stuck in here forever. Red Ices, EWR, NNR, Tanklin, Ragecast, Drilla, Tim, Flood, NSN, and Logos. Rap albums, Mystic, Mr. Bond, No Face Nate, Zyklon Don. W2R, All-Star, Zyklon, Z Kyle, Big Filth. Rock albums from Right Wing Death Squad, Screwdriver. He's got Huntress music. He's got Fashion Nova, Udenhaus music, Foundering music. Oh, Vivian, he's got Foundering music in here. More pro folk music. Argent Beacon and White Pills music. Chalk Waffen. Here's what Chalk Waffen is. Or I'm gonna view it in Telegram. Oh. All right. I hate ads. Chalk Waffen. Shout out to Bigot Smalls. Look at this. Oh, I gotta blow it up. Man, come on now. Well, damn it. He puts them all in my street. He goes around and puts chalk on the ground. It's really fucking cool. Shout out to Bigot Smalls, man. Another form of activism. Putting chalk messages down. You got to love it. So, and of course, we talked about Aquarius Fab LLC, home of the Sun and Rug. They're fucking badass. Okay? And make sure you follow First Fire 508. By the way, drop your link. Face and Flint, drop your links. I want you to follow these guys, these activists, these creators. Guys who share all the good stuff. But after, when it gets late at night, we watch a little bit of based material. And since we're talking about the Kennedys, I found Just a Dude always posts a lot of cool based documentaries. You know, I'm a documentary freak. And this one here is, we can watch it from Rumble. So I can mess around with my Telegram and not mess it up. Look at this filter is going crazy with the white behind me. Is it the shadow? Is it? It's my actual chroma key. Stop getting in your head. So Israel and the assassinations of the Kennedy brothers by Contre Culture, okay? It's a French dude with an accent. He's kind of dry at times. I didn't preview the whole thing, and I went through to make sure there were clips and different things, and it wasn't just some guy fucking talking, right? So
1 p.m.
So this, let me drop the link before we watch it, and then is what we're about to watch, okay? A based documentary. I say based just to give you the pre-snap here. It says, I'm so hoarse. Lauren Guillenot exposes the truth about the Kennedy assassinations and follows the breadcrumbs to the actual perpetrators. Who would that be?
Joe!
Oh, those guys. Oh, Face and Flint. You know, in Dublin, I went to the Guinness brewery and learned how to pour the perfect Guinness and got my little certificate. I used to love drinking Guinness back in the day. Oof, couldn't imagine now. It's like drinking a loaf of bread. Same with Hefeweizen. All right, back to this. Stop reading the chat. There you go, First Fire. Thank you. Let me try again. Lauren Guillenot exposes the truth about the Kennedy assassinations and follows the breadcrumbs of the actual perpetrators.
Joe!
Who've managed to remain hidden until now. In 1968, Robert Kennedy was assassinated just after winning the California primaries, which made him the frontrunner in the presidential race. Had he reached the White House, he would have been able to reopen the investigation into his brother's death 5 years earlier. And it is known from numerous testimonies that he intended to do so. Neither John nor Robert's death are elucidated. Both investigations conducted after LBJ's or under his watch are widely regarded as cover-ups. Each case, the official conclusion is rife with contradictions. The film sums them up, but it does more. It shows that the key to solving both cases resides in the link between them.
Joe!
Joe. Oh my damn.
And it solves them beyond a reasonable doubt. All right, look at that. We got follows. Hell yeah. All right, let's go. You guys ready to watch this? If not, hey, there's a lot of good stuff to watch. You know, it's not going to hurt my feelings. You're like, well, I don't like it for the documentaries. Like, I am going to comment. It's not going to be as fun as watching a sci-fi movie that I owe you. Honda Reiser had to go early. But I owe Honda Reiser and Black Hawk Bill a sci-fi. And I found one. Slick Nick and Anzio Annie, what's going on? I see y'all down there. Hanging out. Anybody new over here? Nope. And anybody new over here? Hey, Mr. Sauerkraut. And there's First Fire 508. What's going on? All right, let's get this.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Vice President Johnson has become the 36th President of the United States.
I didn't shoot anybody, sir. I haven't been told what I'm here for.
I'm just a patsy.
Oswald has been shot.
Joe!
Supporters of Israel's nuclear weapons program were in fact involved in the JFK assassination.
There's only one person in the world that John Kennedy trusted unequivocally, and that was Robert Kennedy.
Obviously, I was there, but I don't remember any of that.
MK Ultra.
Thank you.
Bruh.
Just after midnight on the 6th of June, 1968, Senator Robert Kennedy, candidate to the presidency of the United States, was shot in a back room of the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. He had just been celebrating his victory at the California primaries, which made him the most likely Democratic nominee for the presidential election.
These boomers are going to shit when they find
Robert
out the truth.
Would probably have won against the Republican candidate Richard Nixon. At the age of 43, he would have become the youngest American president ever, after being the youngest attorney general. His death opened the way for Richard Nixon, who could finally become president 8 years after being beaten by John F. Kennedy. John had been assassinated 4 years and a half before Robert. Had he survived, he would probably have been president until 1968, and his brother might have succeeded him. Instead of that, John's vice president, Lyndon Johnson, took over the White House in 1963. He became so unpopular that he retired in 1968. Interestingly, Johnson became president the very day of John's death and ended his term a few months after Robert's death. He was in power at the time of both investigations. Both investigations are widely regarded as cover-ups. In each case, the official conclusion is rife with contradictions. We are going to sum them up in this film, but we will do more. We will show that the key to solving both cases resides in the link between them, and we will solve them beyond a reasonable doubt. Strangely, we rarely hear about the Kennedy assassinations as a plural. John's death in 1963 and Robert's in 1968 are generally treated as two unconnected tragedies, rather than as serial murders. When both killings are connected, it is by the nonsensical notion of a curse on the Kennedy family, rather than by the hypothesis of a common commissioner. This theme of the Kennedy curse, in which is included the plane accident that cost the life to John Kennedy Jr., is often associated to the alleged sins of John and Robert's.
I see you out there, Mr. Uncle Semite. What's going on? It's great to have you out here.
Father, Joseph Kennedy. A more rational explanation must take into account that John and Robert were more than just brothers. They were connected by an unshakable loyalty. All Kennedy biographers stress the absolute dedication of Robert to his elder brother. Robert had successfully managed John's campaign for the Senate in 1952, then his presidential campaign in 1960. John was deeply grateful for his support.
A great appreciation to my brother Bobby, who has directed all our primary campaigns and the organization in all of them, as he did in my campaign for the Senate in 1952. And of course, he has been the most essential figure.
At the White House, John made Bobby not only his attorney general, but also his most trusted advisor, even on matters of foreign or military affairs. He insisted, for example, on having him nearby during the whole Cuban Missile Crisis in October 1962.
Traditionally, attorneys general have nothing to do with foreign policy. But after the Bay of Pigs, John Kennedy really wanted Bobby by his side, helping him to make...
They might go to their graves, but I'm going to go to my grave trying to tell each and every one of them that I still can what I know.
Make the decisions on everything, because there was only one person.
Give him a clear conscience. Okay, I'm going to shut up.
The world that John Kennedy trusted unequivocally, and that was Robert Kennedy.
Robert and John's communion of spirit struck their collaborators.
No sooner did one of them begin a sentence than the other knew what he was saying. They understood each other so well that they talked in a kind of shorthand.
Yet, Robert was very different from John. He was a sincerely religious man, devoted to his family. He had got married at the age of 24, long before his elder brother. With his wife Ethel, also a devout Catholic, he fathered 11 children.
My mother and my father shared a belief that we are on earth for a short period of time. something that we are actually children of God. We prayed every night that John Kennedy would be the best president ever and that my father would be the best attorney general ever.
Ain't that wholesome?
What John most appreciated in Robert was his sense of justice and the integrity of his moral judgment. It is Robert, for example, who encouraged John to fully endorse the cause of the black civil rights movement.
We are confronted primarily with a...
Fucking awful, man. I was hitting the fuck... I was mashing on the fucking mute button, and it was just like... Yeah, fuck the civil rights movement. Fuck those niggers.
...moral issue. It is as old as the scriptures, and is as clear as the American Constitution. The heart of the question is whether all Americans are to be afforded equal rights and equal opportunities. Whether we are going to treat our fellow Americans as we want to be treated.
It was probably the first time in the history of our country.
Okay. Roll with me here. He was going to pass it, and then he was going to reinstitute the Alien Immigration Act and say, yes, all Americans have civil rights, but you are not Americans. Boom, repeal all of, it was going to happen. Hey, come on, let's dream. I hate this nigger. I'm so glad he's dead.
Then the American president who said that the question of civil rights, the question of race, it was a moral issue. And he had the encouragement of Robert Kennedy to push him in this direction. Robert Kennedy was learning. He was growing.
Nigger lover.
He said to me,
nigger.
John, I now understand. The young people have educated me.
Nigger.
And you can see it. You could feel it.
Don't get fucked.
Robert Kennedy, during that period, became...
Kill yourself, cunt.
Not just as a politician, not just as the attorney general, but as a human being. That it was time for that to be some major steps to end racial discrimination in America.
Robert neither possessed John's charisma nor his ambition. After John's death, he felt that his brother's coat, which he had literally worn during his first month of mourning, was too big for him. When he finally decided to run for president in 1968, it was out of a sense of destiny to take up the torch of his brother's legacy. Robert knew that he was, in the eyes of millions of Americans, the legitimate heir to the murdered king, as well as his avenger. His public appearances led to displays of enthusiasm never seen before for a presidential candidate, and his total lack of concern for his own security only increased his prestige.
That's just not smart, man.
What sounded like shots turned out to be Chinese firecrackers. Bobby flinched, then went right on campaigning.
Given the exceptional bond between...
Oh, what about the COVID? What about all the germs? All those gooks you're touching, man. All those yellow hands.
Between the Kennedy brothers and the unity between their presidential destinies, what are the odds that their assassination...
All those fucking bat-head-eating motherfuckers, man. All those fucking rat-eating motherfucking chinks.
Nations were unrelated. Common sense suggests that they were killed by the same force and for the same motives, and that Robert was eliminated from the presidential race because he had to be prevented from reaching a position where he could reopen the case of his brother's death. Was there in 1968 any objective reason to believe that he intended to do that? That is the first question we must answer.
I believe that's a big 10-4, good buddy.
Did Robert Kennedy plan to reopen the investigation on his brother's assassination? That question has been positively answered by David Talbot in his book Brothers, The Hidden History of the Kennedy Years, published in 2007 by Simon & Schuster. Talbot shows that Robert had never believed in the conclusion of the Warren Commission report that Lee Harvey Oswald was the sole assassin of his brother. His son, Robert Kennedy Jr., recently confirmed it. Knowing what to expect from Johnson, Robert had refused to testify before the Warren Commission, but he was compelled to write a statement saying that he knew of, quote, no credible evidence to support the allegations that the assassination of President Kennedy was caused by a domestic or foreign conspiracy, end of quote. To his close friends who asked him why he wouldn't voice his doubt publicly, he said, "There is nothing I can do about it, not now." Robert was alienated and closely monitored by the new president, Lyndon Johnson, and his friend, FBI.
Well, he's firing it up, man.
Asked him why he wouldn't voice his doubt publicly, he said, "There is nothing I can do about it, not now." Robert was alienated and closely monitored by the new president, Lyndon Johnson, and his friend, FBI Director Edgar Hoover. Although still officially Attorney General, he knew he was powerless against the forces that had killed his brother. Yet, Robert lost no time to start his own investigation. A mere week after JFK's death, November 29, Bill Walton, a friend of the Kennedys, traveled to Moscow and passed to Nikita Khrushchev, via a trusted agent, a message from Robert and Jacqueline Kennedy. According to the memo found in the Soviet archives in the 1990s by Alexander Fursenko and Timothy Naftali, Robert and Jackie wanted to inform the Soviet leader that they believed John Kennedy had been, quote, the victim of a right-wing conspiracy, that only RFK could implement John Kennedy's vision, and that the cooling that might occur in U.S.-Soviet relations because of Johnson would not last forever. At the same time, Robert started his own investigations. He first asked CIA Director John McCone, a Kennedy friend, to find out if rogue agents within the agency had anything to do with the plot. Then, in March 1964, suspecting a vengeance from organized crime, he contacted mobster Jimmy Hoffa, his sworn enemy.
He said Jimmy Hoffa. Jimmy Hoffa. Man, boomers love Hoffa too. They fucking love Hoffa. Boomers love Hoffa. He's a fucking mafia guy. They love Hoffa. He stole from them and they loved him.
Whom he had battled for 10 years.
Fucking crazy.
And whom he suspected of having taken revenge on his brother. A face-to-face encounter was...
Dude, man, I'm telling you, like my dad, my pop... fucking loved Jimmy Hoffa because he fucking stood up against the Kennedys. You know the guy, my dad. He could not stand the Kennedys because they came from so much wealth. That's all that mattered to him. Power family, Camelot, all that shit. And a lot of Southern folk felt the same way. And the civil rights movement, shit. I believe there was a time where every white person south of the Mason-Dixon hated the name. Just, you said Kennedy, and they would...
was organized between the two men on an airport
like a rebel
runway,
Yale, man.
And Robert came out convinced of Hoffa's innocence. Robert also asked his friend Daniel Moynihan to search for any complicity in the Secret Service responsible for the president's security. With the publication of the Warren Commission report, Robert had the confirmation that he could not expect anything from his government as long as Johnson was in power. He also knew that his own investigations were under surveillance. He contacted a former MI6 officer that he knew from the time his father had been ambassador in London. This British officer, in turn, contacted some trusted friends in France. With the tacit support of Charles de Gaulle, arrangements were made for two French intelligence operatives to conduct, over a three-year period, a quiet investigation that involved hundreds of interviews in the United States.
How's that? I mean, yeah. Hi, I'm the United States Attorney General, and I can't investigate the death of my brother, the President of the United States, and assassination. Hey, France, or hey, MI6, can you low-key, like, investigate this shit, find somebody, you know, off the books? It's fucking crazy.
Their report, replete with innuendo about Lyndon Johnson and right-wing Texas oil barons, was delivered to Bobby Kennedy only months before his own assassination in June of 1968. After Bobby's death, the last surviving brother, Senator Ted Kennedy, showed no interest in the material. The investigators then hired a French writer to edit the material into a book under the pen name of James Hepburn. The book was first published in French under the title L'Amérique Brûle, then in English under the title Farewell America. Robert Kennedy...
Farewell America, I've never heard of it. Gotta learn.
Had planned to run for the American presidency in 1972, but the escalation of the Vietnam War precipitated his decision to run in 1968.
I am announcing today my candidacy for the presidency of the United States.
Another factor may have been the opening of the investigation by New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison in 1967. Garrison was allowed to view Abraham Zapruder's 8mm film confiscated by the FBI on the day of the assassination. This film, despite evident tampering, shows that the fatal shot came from the front of the president, and therefore not from the school book depository located behind him, where Oswald was supposed to be shooting from.
I looked at the wound again. I wanted to know and remember this the rest of my life. And the rest of my life, I will always know he was shot from the front.
The Warren Commission investigation can...
Fucking fact. It's a fucking fact. One more time.
I looked at the wound again. I wanted to know and remember this the rest of my life. And the rest of my life, I will always know he was shot from the front.
The Warren Commission investigation concluded the shots came only from behind. Dr. Crenshaw says they're wrong.
The bullet struck about where and passed about where?
From here,
right, through.
Although the official report suppressed their testimonies, many witnesses said that shots were fired from behind a fence on what is known...
The Warren Commission...
Run by Jews.
...known as the Grassy Knoll, which was on the right front of the limousine at the moment of the shooting.
Pourtant, au cours de son enquête, la commission Warren a écarté toutes les preuves de coups de feu provenant du Grassy Knoll. Mais les témoignages sont là.
The shot came from behind the wooden fence. There's no doubt whatsoever in my mind.
Garrison would later claim that Robert gave him a discreet message of support through a common friend, letting him know that he was going to, quote, blow the whole thing wide open when he is president. Robert also confided to his friend William Atwood, then editor of Look magazine, that he, like Garrison, suspected a conspiracy, but that he couldn't do anything until he gets control of the White House. In conclusion, there can be little doubt that, had he been elected president, Robert Kennedy would have done everything possible to reopen the case of his brother's assassination in one way or another. This certainly did not escape John's murderers. They had no other option but to stop him. This first conclusion is a sufficient reason to conduct a comparative analysis of both Kennedy assassinations in search of some converging clues that might lead us on the track of a common mastermind. Let us begin with Robert's assassination.
That's horrible to look at, and I'm sorry to pause this at this time, but Googer fart, I don't know what your handle in this chat is, or if you're on X. I really don't know why Entropy won't let you, but that's okay. If you're on X, it'd be cool if you just make an account over here at one of these platforms, both of the platforms, and just join the chat, man. Your time's more important and valuable. This video, you're missing out. This video is about JFK. The brothers and the Jewry, the Jews,
Jew,
behind the assassinations. So, but thank you, Google Fart. It's that thought that I appreciate, and your time. You just join the chat and say, "White power." I am. You know what? If you join the chat, first time chatter, and you'll get bolts.
Assassination, and let us first focus.
That's not everybody right now. It's Googer Fart.
Yeah, I got to get a PFP first. Make the account, get a PFP, and say, Google fart. Nope. You know what? As a matter of fact, just let me know who you are. I'll know, because you just repeat what you just said in there, and we'll know.
Because on the very special profile.
Join the chat, damn it.
Killer. Just hours after Robert's assassination, the press was able to inform the American people not only of the identity of the assassin, but also of his motive and even of his detailed biography. 24-year-old Siran Bishara Siran was born in Jordania and had moved to the United States when his family had been expelled from West Jerusalem in 1948. After the shooting, a newspaper clipping was found in Siran's pocket, quoting a favorable statement made by Robert Kennedy regarding the selling of military aircrafts to Israel. Handwritten notes by Siran found in a notebook at his home confirmed that he...
After you make your account, I know I should be paying attention to this. After you make your account, just put it in that entropy chat what it is, and then I'll know who you are.
His act had been premeditated.
You get balls.
And motivated by his hatred of Israel. That became the storyline of the mainstream media from day one. Jerry Cohen of the Los Angeles Times wrote a front page article saying that Siran is, quote, and a young man with a supreme hatred for the state of Israel. Cohen infers that Senator Kennedy became a personification of that hatred because of his recent pro-Israeli statements. Cohen further claimed to have learned from Los Angeles Mayor Samuel Yorty that about 3 weeks before shooting Robert Kennedy, Siran wrote a memo to himself saying, Kennedy must be assassinated before June 5, 1968, that is, the first anniversary of the Six-Day War in which Israel humiliated three Arab neighbors, Egypt, Syria.
Sirhan Sirhan was a successful... yeah, there's a link. I'm going to get it to you in just a second. He was a successful, I believe, MK Ultra. Let me get this. Let me copy it. I got you, 14 Mawa. You know I got you, man. I'll drop it right in here just in case anybody comes in, needs it over there. And you great folks over there. I got people watching me on Rumble. And I'm even going to put it in the comments over here. Well, look how nice I am. I'm so nice. On the X comments. Look at there. Now we're all great. But he was MK Ultra, man.
And Jordan. After September 11, 2001, Americans were reminded of Syria as a precursor of Islamic terrorism on the American soil. And his act was installed into the War on Terror mythology and propaganda. In a book entitled The Forgotten Terrorist, Mail Aiton, who specializes in debunking conspiracy theories, claims to present, quote, a wealth of evidence about Siran's fanatical Palestinian nationalism and to demonstrate that Siran was the lone assassin whose politically motivated act was a forerunner of present-day terrorism, end of quote. In 2008, on the occasion of the 40th anniversary of Bobby's murder, the Jewish Daily Forward wrote, Robert Kennedy was the first American victim of modern Arab terrorism. One cannot help but note the parallel between Kennedy's assassination and the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. In both tragic cases, Arab fanaticism reared its ugly head on American soil, irrevocably changing the course of events in this country. End of quote. Writing for the Boston Globe, Sasha Isenberg recalled that the death of Robert Kennedy was, quote, a first taste of the political violence in the Middle East. He quotes Harvard professor Alan Dershowitz as saying it was perceived as an act of violence motivated by hatred of Israel and of anybody who supported Israel. It was in some ways the beginning of Islamic terrorism in America. It was the first shot, end of quote. The fact that Siran was from a Christian family was lost on Dershowitz. The Jewish Forward took care to mention it, only to add that Islamic fanaticism ran in his veins anyway. quote, but what he shared with his Muslim cousins, the perpetrators of September 11, was a visceral, irrational hatred of Israel. There is something suspicious in this insistence on making the assassination of Robert Kennedy a crime against Israel. But let us, for the moment, take these declarations seriously, and let us try to understand what kind of anti-Zionist Palestinian terrorist was Siran Siran. While studying his case more closely, perhaps we can learn something about the very nature of the Arab terrorism that has now become a familiar leitmotif of the mainstream narrative in our post-9/11 world. The first question is, did Siran really kill Robert Kennedy?
No. Boy, he fucked him up. Jolly West was one of the main doctors of MKUltra.
Ballistic and forensic evidence show that, in fact, none of Siran's bullets hit Kennedy. According to the autopsy report of Chief Medical Examiner Dr. Thomas Noguchi, who confirms it in his memoirs, Robert Kennedy was hit by 3 bullets, while a 4th went through his coat.
Bruh.
All these bullets were shot from behind Kennedy, 2 of them under his right armpit following an upward angle, and the 3rd, the fatal bullet, behind his right ear at point-blank range.
One gunshot wound was found behind right ear, and there were abundance of powder deposit on the edge of the right ear, and after test firing the similar weapon, we came to conclusion that the muzzle distance would be one inch from the right ear edge and no more than 3 inches.
Yet the sworn testimonies of 12 witnesses established that Robert had never turned his back on Siran and that Siran was 5 to 6 feet away from his target when he fired. Moreover, Siran was physically overpowered by Karl Uecker after his second shot, and although he continued pressing the trigger mechanically, his revolver was then not directed towards Kennedy. By tallying all the bullet impacts in the pantry and those that wounded 5 people around Kennedy, it can be established that at least 12 bullets were fired, while Siran's gun carried only 8. Finally, a computer analysis of audio recordings during the shooting, made by engineer Philippe Van Praag in 2008, confirms that 2 guns are heard.
13 shot sounds over a little bit over a 5-second interval of time. There are 2 shots and then a pause of about 1 1/3 seconds, and then a flurry of succeeding shots. The primary point that people need to recall is that the capacity of Sirhan's gun was 8 shots. He did not have time to reload. And so anything more than 8 shots proves there had to be a second gun firing within that kitchen pantry, period.
We have strong evidence based upon this audio tape of 13 shots, 2 double shots, the make and the model of the gun, and the directionality of those shots into the back of Robert Kennedy.
All this evidence has been gathered by attorney William Pepper in a 58-page file submitted in 2011 to the Court of California with a request that Siran's case be reopened.
Bob was hit with 4 bullets were fired at him from the rear now. 2 went through, 1 through the shoulder pad and 1 through the chest cavity that lodged in a ceiling tile that was actually behind Sirhan, where Sirhan was standing. So the shots from the senator were from behind, and the tracing of the bullets was slightly upward.
Probably shot with the Hebrew hammer.
So that's where the assassin was firing, and that's where he was standing, behind the senator. And we have a view as to who that person was, but a good deal more probing and evidentiary work has to be done.
If Siran did not kill Robert Kennedy, then who did? The presence of a second shooter was indicated by several witnesses and reported on the same day by a few news outlets.
En ce qui concerne les agresseurs, ici à Paris, d'après les informations que nous transmettent les agences de presse, on dit qu'il y en aurait 2.
There are strong suspicions that the second shooter was Thane Eugene Caesar, a security guard hired for the evening by the Hotel Ambassador owned by Maya Sharp. Caesar was stuck behind Kennedy at the time of shooting. Several witnesses saw him draw his pistol, and one of them, Don Shulman, positively saw him fire.
As we were slowly pushed forward, another man stepped out, and he shot. Just then the guard, who was standing behind Kennedy, took out his gun, and he fired also. The next thing I knew is that Kennedy was shot three times.
Now, how far was Sirhan from Senator Kennedy at the time?
I would say approximately from 3 to 6 feet.
Where was this guard who was firing his gun?
He was standing directly to the side and back of Kennedy.
On what side?
He was standing on the right-hand side.
Contract killer could not find a more efficient and concealed position to do his deed. First, a clear opening to shoot at the heart, with little chance to be seen by witnesses situated either in front of or behind the victim. Then another opportunity for a concealed coup de grace in the back of the head as the victim slumps to the floor.
Incredibly, Caesar's weapon was never examined, and he was never interrogated, even though he did not conceal his hatred for the Kennedys.
He told police he had sold his .22 3 months before the assassination.
A receipt proves that it was sold after the assassination. The person who made out this receipt confirmed Caesar told him at the time of the sale, be careful of this weapon, it was involved in a police shooting. He was the...
Man, this is so, like, you don't need a smoking gun. I'm so tired of this, finding out all this shit. Oh, Prescott. Mm-hmm. Man, these are just, we've been ruled. We've been led, whatever, governed by the most disgusting motherfuckers ever.
Obvious.
Sure, the Jew controls them, but they're disgusting motherfuckers, them Shabbos boys, on their own. They have sick hearts. That's why they're able to have this satanic incursion in their hearts and souls and work for the eternal enemy of white men, of the white race, the Jew.
First suspect. The police brushed him off and never investigated him further.
Even if we assume that Sirhan was the assassin of Robert Kennedy, another aspect of the case raises question. According to several witnesses, Sirhan seemed to be in a state of trance during the shooting and in a state of disorientation just after. More importantly, Sirhan has always claimed that he has never had any recollection of his act, even though, on the suggestion of his attorney, he admitted to have done it. For this, he was sentenced to death penalty. But the death penalty was abolished in California soon after, and his sentence was turned into life imprisonment. 50 years after the fact, Sirhan continues to claim,
however, I not only have never been able to remember what happened in that place at that time, but I have not been able...
I believe him, yo. I don't know why I do, but I do. Of course I believe him.
...able to remember many things.
Even if he's a fucking sand nigger. Dude, this guy looks like he's about... He looks like he could own his own fucking media company.
...things and incidents which took place in the weeks leading up to the shooting.
What do you remember about the shooting, if you're willing to talk about that?
I was there. But I don't remember the exact moment. I don't remember pulling my gun out of my body or whatever it was located. And I don't remember aiming it at any human being. I don't remember any of that.
Since 1968, several psychiatric analyses, including lie detector tests, have confirmed that Sirhan's amnesia is not faked. Therefore, experts in hypnosis and mental manipulation believe that Sirhan has been submitted to hypnotic programming.
It was off. You know, you can... Look, lie detectors are not a exact science and they're not admissible to court. But if you go back over... I mean... There's not a lot of people who failed a lie detector test who were innocent, but because it has happened, they can't be admissible in court. Pretty much, when you hook someone up and they're lying, they can they'll fuck it up. But the problem with the lie detector test is the baseline questions. You cannot establish the baseline as being completely honest. It's just not, it's not scientific. Like, they'll ask you something straight up. Have you ever cheated on your wife? They know. Have you ever had thoughts about other? You're going in for a baseline to be asked about your clearance, right? They ask you, have you ever committed adultery? And you're like, no. But in your mind, you're wondering, well, I've cheated on a girlfriend when I was younger. But you're thinking that, but you're like, I didn't commit adultery. I wasn't married, but I did cheat. And you say no. And this is a baseline. They say your baseline shows signs of deception. And you're like, well, I never cheated on my wife. I've never committed adultery. But when I was young, I cheated on a girlfriend. And you'd have to clear that up before they could continue. That's why it's not admissible. But they're pretty darn, I mean, you know, nowadays, I'm pretty sure that you guys, they can fucking tell if you're lying or not. Or, you know, I'll fucking find out if you're lying.
Obvious that he had been programmed to kill Robert Kennedy and programmed to forget that he'd been programmed.
This hypothesis is consistent with some repetitive lines written in a notebook found.
Hey, man, Mr. Foss. I was just talking about I'm going to tighten all the loose wires on the polygraph machine.
In Siren's room, which are reminiscent of automatic writing. In 2008, Harvard University professor Daniel Brown, a noted expert in hypnosis and trauma memory loss, interviewed Siren for a total of 60 hours and concluded that Siren, who belongs to the category of high hypnotizables, acted involuntarily under the effect of hypnotic suggestion. His action of firing the gun was neither under his voluntary control nor done with conscious knowledge, but is likely a product of automatic hypnotic behavior and coercive control. End of quote. During his sessions with Dr. Brown, Siren could remember having been accompanied by an attractive woman before suddenly finding himself in a shooting range with a weapon he did not know. According to Brown's report, quote, Siren responded to a specific hypnotic cue given to him by that woman to enter range mode, during which Siren automatically and involuntarily responded with a flashback that he was shooting at a firing range at circle targets, end of quote. Month after Siren recalled these details, attorney William Pepper was able to prove that, just days before the assassination, Siren had visited a firing range accompanied by an unknown instructor and had signed the register. With the help of Professor Brown, Siren was also able to remember that his instructor had a falling mustache, which fits the description of famous hypnotist William Joseph Bryan Jr., whom other evidence also incriminates. Joe. Bryan makes no secret of having worked for the Air Force in the brainwashing section. His biggest claim to fame was to have exposed, by hypnosis, the Boston Strangler, Albert DiSalvo, who thereafter confessed to the crime. Bryan often bragged about it. This is significant because in the notebook found at Siren's home that Siren recognized to be in his own handwriting, but that he cannot remember having written, we find this. God help me. Please help me. Salvo. DiSalvo. DiSalvo. It is surmised that he heard the name while under hypnosis.
You have to have the person locked up physically to have control over them. You have to use a certain amount of physical torture involved. And there is also the use of long-term hypnotic suggestion, probably drugs, whatever, and so on. Under these situations where you have all this going for you, like the prison.
Yeah, you know, our government was doing all this shit back then. They were fucking, I mean, look at the LSD files. Shit's crazy.
effects on it. Yes, you can brainwash a person to do just about anything. What I'm speaking about are the innumerable instances that we ran into when I was running the country's brainwashing and anti-brainwashing programs.
We know that in the 1960s, American military agencies were experimenting on mental control. Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, son of Hungarian Jews, directed the infamous CIA MKUltra project, which, among other things, was trying to answer questions like, can a person under hypnosis be forced to commit murder? According to a declassified document dated May 1951, we also know that Ciaran was attending meetings of occultist circles, practicing mental experiments, and this may have created opportunities to submit him to hypnotic programming. Israeli journalist Ronan Bergman has recently revealed that in May 1968, the month preceding Robert Kennedy's assassination, the Aman, the Israeli military intelligence, was planning to assassinate Yasser Arafat by hypnotically programming a Palestinian. The idea was proposed by a Navy psychologist named Binyamin Shalit, who claimed that, quote, if he was given a Palestinian prisoner, one of the thousands in Israeli jails, with the right characteristics, he could brainwash and hypnotize him into becoming a programmed killer. He would then be sent across the Jordan, join the Fatah there, and, when the opportunity arose, do away with Arafat, end of quote. The proposal was approved. Shalit selected a 28-year-old Palestinian from Bethlehem, whom he judged easily suggestionable. The operation failed, but it proved that in 1968, precisely, Israel was experimenting methods of assassination identical to the one used against Robert Kennedy.
Willie Wofford 88, what's going on? Man, I'm telling you, I think they beat those motherfuckers with a rubber hose. I think they fucking waterboarded him, tortured him.
In the hypothesis that Ciaran has been manipulated, the question is, why him? Who had an interest in having people believe that Robert was killed by a fanatic Palestinian motivated by hatred of Israel? Israel, of course. But then we are faced with a dilemma. For why would Israel kill Robert Kennedy if Robert Kennedy was supportive of Israel? That would logically exclude Israel from the list of suspects. The dilemma rests on a misleading assumption, which is part of the deception. In reality, Robert Kennedy was not pro-Israel. He was simply in an electoral campaign, as everyone knows.
He already knew about the Jew. Him and his brother were like best friends.
Knows a few good wishes and
they're really the only ones each other trusted.
Empty promises to Israel are,
and apparently some MI6 British guy,
an inescapable ritual in such circumstances. Robert's statements did not exceed the minimal requirements. It is claimed that Ciaran had in his pocket a newspaper clipping from the May 27 issue of Pasadena's Independent Star News, mentioning that Robert Kennedy had declared in an Oregon synagogue, quote, "The United States should, without delay, sell Israel the 50 Phantom jets she has so long been promised," end of quote. But the author of this article, David Lawrence, underlined how little credit should be given to Robert's electoral promises. His article, entitled "Paradoxical Bob," began like this: "Presidential candidates are out to get votes, and some of them do not realize their own inconsistencies." All things considered, there is no ground for believing that Robert Kennedy would have been, as President of the United States, particularly friendly to Israel. The Kennedy family, proudly Irish and Catholic, was not known to be very appreciative of Jews. Joe Kennedy had been notoriously critical of Jewish influence during the Second World War. While ambassador in London from 1938 to 1940, he had supported the appeasement policy of British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain toward Hitler. When Roosevelt was about to enter the war, he had resigned and declared that he intended, quote, "to devote my effort to what seems to me the greatest cause in the world today, to help the president keep the U.S. out of the war," end of quote. During John's presidential campaign, Menachem Begin's party, Erut, wondered publicly if the father, Joe Kennedy, quote, "did not inject some poisonous drops of anti-Semitism in the mind of his children," end of quote.
based.
In his Pulitzer Prize-winning book Profiles in Courage, published in 1956, Kennedy had declared his admiration for Senator Robert Taft, who, by calling the Nuremberg military trials of 1946 a shameful parody of justice, had sacrificed his political future. We will talk later about John Kennedy's tense relationship with the State of Israel. As for his brother, he had not been in his brother's government a particularly pro-Israel attorney general. He had infuriated Zionist leaders by supporting an investigation led by Senator William Fulbright of the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations aimed at registering the American Zionist Council as a foreign agent, subject to the obligations defined by the Foreign Agents Registration Act of 1938, which would have considerably hindered its efficiency. After the assassination of John Kennedy,
Okay. I think it's safe to say a lot of us are learning a few things about John F. Kennedy's father that we didn't know because we just assumed rich businessman worked with Jews. Not saying he was the number one Jew hater, but he definitely had some issues with them. What's up, Chucky? Good to see you in here. Look at that dress.
American Zionist Council.
That's class. I'm not saying she's class. I'm just saying that's class, the look.
Escaped this procedure, and its lobbying division, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC, became the most powerful lobby in the United States and an indispensable instrument for the corruption and intimidation of American elected officials and for the control of American foreign policy. It was Nicholas Katzenbach, whom Johnson put at the head of the Department of Justice to lobby in the United States and an indispensable instrument for the corruption and intimidation of American elected officials and for the
Okay, never mind. I thought Yasser Arafat was, look, I thought Arafat was holding fucking DVDs of Europa, the Last Battle. He was selling for $60 and not giving a penny to Tobias. My bad. He looks just like it.
For the control of American foreign policy. It was Nicholas Katzenbach, whom Johnson put at the head of the Department of Justice to replace Robert Kennedy, who buried the case against the American Zionist Council. Katzenbach is also known as having strongly recommended to the new president, Lyndon Johnson, a commission of inquiry to establish as soon as possible that Oswald was the only assassin of Kennedy. In conclusion, it is only by an outrageous hypocrisy that the Jewish Daily Forward could write on June 6, 2008, quote, in remembering Bobby Kennedy, let us remember not just what he lived for, but also what he died for, namely the precious nature of the American-Israeli relationship, end of quote. Robert Kennedy's death had not been a bad thing for the American-Israeli relationship. As a U.S. president, would Robert have saved Israel from disaster in 1973, like Nixon and Kissinger, by providing her with unlimited military support against Egypt? It is
Kissinger is one disgusting fucking, oh, look at that demon. Look at that devil.
Unlikely. Rather, Robert Kennedy was a great loss for the Arab world, as had his brother John before him. Of course, the fact that the Zionist media lied when granting Robert Kennedy some kind of posthumous certificate of goodwill towards Israel and thereby provided Israel with a kind of fake alibi is not a sufficient reason for accusing Israel of having murdered Robert. Even the fact that the masterminds of the plot chose as their programmed instrument an anti-Zionist Palestinian and thereby stirred a strong anti-Palestinian feeling among Americans at the same time as getting rid of Robert, does not prove that Israel was involved. What is lacking for a serious presumption is a plausible motive, and the motive of Robert's assassination, as we said before, must be found not in what Robert was declaring publicly during his campaign, but rather in what he confided only to his close friends, his intention to reopen the investigation on his brother's death. What would an unbiased investigation conducted under the supervision of Robert in the White House have revealed? This is what we must now determine.
Feast mode activated. Hashtag hungry. FeedMeMore.com.
It's been a while,
Just thought I'd pay tribute to the tank commander. Fuck the Jews. Fuck the...
He didn't say niggers. Thank you very much, Chucky. Great to see you. I appreciate it, man. That's very nice and generous of you. Thanks for being here. Show's going great, I think. It's just like I planned it. We're tiny and mighty. Nice. It's nice and slow. We creeping up the hill. We're saving our horsepower. See, we're saving it for that final stage. You know, we're fuel mileaging. Everybody's going to run out of fuel. The tank crew's going to come on by. Woo, Zeke Island. Thank you again, Chucky.
It is obvious for any person even vaguely informed that a genuine investigation would prove that Oswald was only the unwilling instrument of the plotters, a scapegoat prepared in advance to be blamed for the crime and then be slaughtered without a trial.
I'm just a patsy.
We will not here review the evidence which contradicts the official thesis of the Lone Gunner. They can be found in numerous other books and films. Just as notorious is the theory according to which the plot to kill Kennedy originated from the CIA, or rather from a secret network within the CIA in collusion with extremist elements in the Pentagon. That thesis looms the largest among conspiracy theories found in books, articles, and films that have been produced for 50 years since the Kennedy assassination. Rather than examining one by one all the arguments of this theory, we shall here trace back its origin. If the trail of the CIA is such a well-trodden path among Kennedy researchers, it is because it has been cut and marked by the mainstream media themselves, as well as by Hollywood. And that began even before the assassination, on October 2, 1963, with an article in the Washington Daily News picked up by the New York Times chief Washington correspondent Arthur Kroc. The article denounced the CIA's unrestrained thirst for power and quoted an unnamed, very high official who claimed that, quote, even the White House could not control it any longer, and that if the United States ever experiences an attempt at a coup to overthrow the government, it will come from the CIA and not from the Pentagon, end of quote. Without saying so, Kroc was letting his readers believe that the very high official whom he quoted was none other than the president himself, who was sending a message to the public via the press. In such a way, the New York Times was planting a sign a month and a half before the Dallas killing, pointing to the CIA as the most likely instigator of the upcoming coup. The sign said, "The president is going to fall victim of a coup, and this will come from the CIA." In the 1970s, the mainstream media and publishing houses again played a major role in steering conspiracy theorists toward the CIA trail while avoiding any hint of Israeli involvement. One major contributor to that effort was the Israeli-American Alan Weberman, a close associate to Jewish Defense Organization, with his 1975 book, Coup d'État in America, The CIA and the Assassination of John F. Kennedy, co-authored by Michael Canfield. Weberman acknowledged Richard Perle's assistance in his investigation. This book contributed to the momentum that led the House Select Committee on Assassinations to reinvestigate in 1976 the murders of JFK and Dr. Martin Luther King, with a special focus on the CIA and organized crime. It is also in this context that Newsweek journalist Edward J. Epstein published an interview of George de Morenchild, a Russian geologist and consultant for Texan Oilman, who had befriended Oswald and his Russian wife in Dallas in 1962. De Morenchild admitted that Oswald was introduced to him at the instigation of a CIA agent. The problem is that de Morenchild was in no position to confirm or deny the words that Epstein ascribed to him. He was found dead a few hours after giving the interview. De Morenchild's death was ruled a suicide. The sheriff's report mentions that in his last month, he complained that, quote,
fucking Epstein, man. I was busy calling up BDA to the tower.
Jews and the Jewish mafia were out to get him. Needless to say, Epstein didn't mention anything about this.
Epstein.
We should also mention author Mark Lane, Levin by his real name. He was the first to incriminate the FBI and the CIA directly in his articles and then in a 1966 book, Rush to Judgment, which received considerable media coverage. Lane was adamant that the CIA was a culprit in his last book, published in 2011, Last Word, My Indictment of the CIA in the Murder of JFK. That Israeli agents have been instrumental in spreading conspiracy theories targeting the CIA has become evident with Oliver Stone's film JFK, released in 1991, starring Kevin Costner in the role of District Attorney Jim Garrison. This film, which shook public opinion,
boy, I can do a whole fucking stream on fucking Kevin Costner.
Opinion to the point of motivating the President John F. Kennedy Assassination Records Collection Act of 1992 was produced by Arnon Milchan, described in a 2011 biography as being, from his youth, quote, one of the most important covert agents that Israeli intelligence has ever fielded. Milchan was working in particular to boost Israel's nuclear program. In 2013, Milchan publicly revealed his extended activity as a secret agent of Israel.
Isn't that some shit, man? How is this even possible? Okay, so fucking Shmoly Mooly, the fucking movie producer, he's a fucking high-ranking spy.
It is therefore
rope.
No wonder that Stone's film gives no hint of the Mossad connection that Garrison had stumbled upon. All these examples demonstrate that the charges against the CIA have been the subject of considerable investment by others who are predominantly Jewish and benefited from an effective echo chamber in the mainstream press. The mainstream news and entertainment industry engaged in double dealing. While ostensibly defending the official theory of the lone gunner on
every
the front page, they channeled
the media
the skeptic's scrutiny towards the CIA.
Every single aspect
this is a typical
of
strategy of
is
Israel,
Jewish.
Occupying the ground of protest and creating a rigged debate, excluding any reference to Israel. The contradiction of the official thesis is maintained focus on the CIA, the military-industrial complex, or any other 100% American organization by an elite of militants whose primary motivation is the preservation of the interest of the Jewish community. In fact, the CIA conspiracy theory suffers from a crippling contradiction. According to it, the purpose of killing Kennedy was to create a pretext for invading Cuba, something that Kennedy had always refused to do. With Oswald groomed as a pro-Castro communist, the Dallas shooting was staged as a false flag attack to be blamed on Cuba, according to the CIA theory. But then, why did no invasion of Cuba follow Kennedy's assassination? It is because Johnson, we are told, thwarted the plot's ultimate aim to start World War III. This is to ignore the tremendous amount of evidence accumulated against Johnson. In fact, I believe the CIA thesis was originally pushed forward to counter the more natural and more popular thesis of a conspiracy headed by Johnson with Hoover's complicity. Another weakness in the CIA theory is the fact that researchers following this lead seem unable to come to any agreement about the mastermind of the plot. In fact, one of the names that come up most often is James Jesus Angleton, the head of counterintelligence within the CIA. Professor John Newman writes about him in Oswald and the CIA.
That is a strange looking motherfucker, man.
No one else in the agency had the access, the authority, and the diabolically ingenious mind to manage this sophisticated plot. But as a matter of fact, Angleton was also the Mossad liaison for the CIA as head of the CIA's Israel office, and he is widely recognized as having been an Israeli mole. One of his biographers, Tom Mangold, states, Angleton's closest professional friends overseas came from the Mossad, and he was held in immense esteem by his Israeli colleagues and by the State of Israel, which was to award him profound honors after his death. Moreover, it has been revealed by reporter Joe Trento of the Sunday News Journal that it was Angleton himself who, in the 70s, played a key role in keeping the CIA under scrutiny by leaking to the press a secret memo he had written himself about the embarrassing presence of CIA agent Howard Hunt in Dallas on November 22, 1963. By a strange paradox, the authors who stand for...
I just answered the question, who killed JFK?
Joe!
The dudes look like blue whopping. Hey, there's a fucking dirt track race car driver who drives midgets, and he's a midget. Who looks like Tyrion Lannister and blue whopping had a fucking baby. If that was possible.
For the conventional thesis of a CIA conspiracy, build their case on the biography of Oswald, while at the same time claiming that Oswald had almost nothing to do with the killing. It is about as useful as scrutinizing Osama bin Laden's biography to solve 9/11. If Oswald was just a patsy, as he claimed, the quest for the real culprits must logically begin by investigating the man who shot Oswald 2 days after his arrest in the Dallas police station, thus preventing a judgment that would have revealed the weakness of the accusation against Oswald. Oswald's assassin is known as Jack Ruby, but few people know that his real name was Jacob Leon Rubinstein, that he was the son of Jewish-Polish immigrants, and that, to the Warren Commission, he had explained his presence in the police station as a Yiddish translator for Israeli reporters. Originally from Chicago, Ruby was a member of the Jewish underworld, known as the Yiddish Connection. His mentor was Los Angeles gangster Mickey Cohen, whom he had known and admired since 1946. Cohen was the successor of the famed Benjamin Siegelbaum, known as Bugsy, one of the bosses of Murder Incorporated, the most brutal crime syndicate in the U.S. Mickey Cohen was in contact with Menachem Begin, the former Irgun chief, a specialist of false flag terrorism. Cohen was infatuated with the Zionist cause, as he explained in his memoir, quote, "Now I got so engrossed with Israel that I actually pushed aside a lot of my activities and done nothing but what was involved with this Irgun war," end of quote. We also know that Ruby phoned Al Gruber, a Mickey Cohen associate, just after Oswald's arrest. Most probably, that is when he received an offer that he couldn't refuse, for reasons possibly linked to his heavy debt. Ruby died from a rapidly spreading cancer in 1967, so he wouldn't have been around for a new trial under Robert Kennedy's presidency. Yet his Irgun connections and some of his recorded statements were highly disturbing. Ruby's defense lawyer, William Kunstler, wrote in his memoir that Ruby told him he had killed Oswald, quote, "for the Jews," and Ruby's rabbi, Hillel Silverman, received the same confession when visiting Ruby in jail. Ruby is only an intermediary link in a conspiracy that begins with the ambush of Dallas, extends to the cover-up of the Warren Commission, and involves a pact of silence with the directions of the major media. At every level of the conspiracy, we find the fingerprints of the Israeli deep state. Let's begin with...
My brother still thinks it was the driver, not someone from behind the fence. He thinks the driver literally turned around and just blasted him right in the fucking face.
The Dallas ambush. JFK's trip to Dallas had no official character and was sponsored by a powerful business group known as the Dallas Citizens Council. Kennedy was on his way to the reception organized in his honor when he was shot. The Dallas Citizens Council was a powerful group dominated by Jewish businessmen like the wealthy Julius Sheps, described by Brian Edward Stone in The Chosen Folks, Jews on the Frontiers of Texas, as, quote, "a member of every synagogue in the city and de facto leader of the Jewish community," end of quote. Abraham Zapruder, the man who filmed the assassination of John Kennedy and sold his film for $150,000 to Life magazine, was also a member of the Dallas Citizens Council. He was a...
How many of these fucking kikes were also B'nai B'ris? All of them?
clothing manufacturer whose headquarters happened to...
I want to know. Who knows? I know all you... You guys are smarter than me. You guys got to know. 14 Mawa knows. He knows all this base stuff. He said, hey, you said it was important to know stuff. What's up, Anon Chan? I still see you in here, Slick Nick. I'm just checking to see who... What's up, Hot Dogs for Sale? Nitzel Waffens up in here. Anybody I've missed that I haven't seen really? Lately? Just checking. Steve! What's up, Steve? Steve. Steve-o. Steve-arino. What's up, Steve?
To be chilling. Located in the Dallas Textile Building, or Daltex, where one of the snipers' nests was located, according to JFK researchers who have studied the firing trajectories. Interviewed the same day on television, Zapruder could not hide his
satisfaction. What's up, Mose Greens?
The host committee inviting Kennedy was chaired by another influential figure of the wealthy Jewish community in Dallas, advertising executive and PR man Sam Bloom. According to former British intelligence...
And James Phosphine.
Intelligence officer Colonel John Hugh Wilson, it was Bloom who, quote, suggested that the police make Oswald accessible to the press. He also suggested, against the explicit advice of the local FBI, that they move the alleged assassin from the Dallas police station to the Dallas County Jail in order to give the newsman a good story and pictures, end of quote. It was during this transfer that Oswald was shot by Ruby. Hugh Wilson also writes, when the police later searched Ruby's home, they found a slip of paper with Bloom's name, address, and telephone number on it. After the Dallas tragedy, Israel's Sionim were also busy fabricating the official lie. Apart from the chairman, Earl Warren, chosen for his figurative role as Chief Justice, all key people in the investigative commission were either personal enemies of Kennedy, like Alan Dulles, the CIA director fired by Kennedy in 1961, or ardent Zionists, like Arlen Specter, who, at his death in 2012, was mourned by the Israeli government as, quote, an unswerving defender of the Jewish state, end of quote. Alan Specter was the inventor of what came to be called the magic bullet theory, a single bullet.
The old magic bullet. Unwavering defender.
Supposed to have caused 7 wounds to John Kennedy and John Connolly sitting before him in the limousine, and later found in pristine condition on a gurney in Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas. In conclusion, at every step of the plot, we find a Zionist cabal, including businessmen, politicians, and gangsters, not forgetting media executives, all devoted to Israel. The most plausible motive for Israel to kill Kennedy has been revealed by 2 books in the 1990s, The Samson Option by Seymour Hersh, then Israel and the Bomb by Avner Cohen. And the lead has been followed up in 2007 by Michael Karpin in The Bomb in the Basement. What these investigators reveal is that John Kennedy, informed by the CIA in 1960 that Israel was developing its own nuclear weapons in the Dimona complex in the Negev desert, was firmly determined to force Israel to renounce it and engaged in a showdown with David Ben-Gurion, who was both Israel's prime minister and defense minister. Ben-Gurion was convinced that by trying to prevent Israel from acquiring the bomb, Kennedy was endangering the very survival of the Jewish state to which he had devoted his entire life. Ben-Gurion wrote in one of his last letters to JFK, Mr. President, my people has the right to exist, and this existence is in danger. Kennedy, however, remained unyielding. In a letter...
Hey, Kike, so do mine, motherfucker, and we are being extincted by your kind, you faggot.
Dated June 15, 1963, he demanded an immediate first visit, followed by regular visits every 6th month. Otherwise, he wrote, this government's commitment to and support of Israel could be seriously jeopardized. The result was unexpected. Ben-Gurion avoided receiving the letter by announcing his resignation on June 16. As soon as the new Prime Minister Levi Eshkol took office, Kennedy sent him a similar letter, dated June 5, 1963, but never got an answer. Did Ben-Gurion resign in order to deal with Kennedy from a deeper level? This is not implausible, because 11 days after resigning, Ben-Gurion was more committed than ever to provide Israel with the nuclear weapon.
That's an ugly motherfucker, man.
He said in a speech, "I do not know of any other nation whose neighbors declare that they wish to terminate it, and not only declare, but prepare for it by all means available to them. Our numbers are small, and there is no chance that we could compare ourselves with America's 180 million or with any Arab neighboring state. There is one thing, however, in which we are not inferior to any other people in the world. This is the Jewish brain, and the Jewish brain does not disappoint. Jewish science does not disappoint. I am confident that science is able to provide us with the weapons that will..."
Jewish Kabbalism, Satanism. Now he's talking about just Satanism, the satanic brain and Satanism. The satanic brain does not disappoint. Satanic science does not disappoint.
"Serve the peace and deter our enemies." End of quote. 5 months later, Kennedy's death relieved Israel of all pressure to stop its nuclear program and of all risk of publicity on this program. John McCone, the CIA director named by Kennedy to inform him about Israel's Dimona project, resigned in 1965, complaining about Johnson's complete lack of interest. According to historian Stephen Green, perhaps the most significant development of 1963 for the Israeli nuclear weapons program occurred on November 22. On a plane flying from Dallas to Washington, D.C., Lyndon Johnson was sworn in as the 36th President of the United States following the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Lyndon Johnson's White House saw no Dimona, heard no Dimona, and spoke no Dimona when the reactor went critical in early 1964. And of course, Kennedy's determination to make Israel's Dimona project abort was only part of the Kennedy problem. Kennedy had committed himself to Arab heads of state to support UN Resolution 1994 for the right of return of the 800,000 Palestinian refugees expelled in 1947-48. For the last time on November 20, 1963, the United States delegation...
You're telling me that Kennedy wanted the Palestinians to return? I didn't know that part. I knew about the nukes. I knew about registering AIPAC's predecessor as fucking foreign agents. White makes me look fatter. Fat. Well, I am still fat. I'm fat as fuck. Still over 220 pounds.
To the United Nations put this issue back on the agenda, causing a strong protest in Israeli circles. On top of that, since the first month of his presidency, Kennedy behaved very warmly toward Nasser, Israel's worst enemy. Historian Philip Muhlenbeck writes, "While the Eisenhower administration had sought to isolate Nasser and reduce his influence through building up Saudi Arabia's King Saud as a conservative rival to the Egyptian president, the Kennedy administration pursued the exact opposite strategy. After Kennedy's death, American foreign policy was reversed again, without the American public being aware of it. Johnson cut the economic aid to Egypt and increased the military aid to Israel, which, according to Stephen Green, reached $92 million in 1966, more than the total of all previous years combined. For 50 years,
what
the Israeli trail in the Kennedy assassination has been smothered, and anyone who dares mention it is immediately ostracized. American Congressman Paul Findlay nevertheless wrote in March 1992 in the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, "It is interesting to note that in all the words written and uttered about the Kennedy assassination, Israel's intelligence agency, the Mossad, has never been mentioned." End of quote. One single author has seriously investigated that trail, Michael Collins Piper, in his 1995 book Final Judgment, The Missing Link in the JFK Assassination Conspiracy. Piper was largely ignored by the mainstream of the Kennedy Truth Movement, but his work has made a strong impact. In 2013, in his foreword to a collection of letters by Kennedy, including those addressed to Ben-Gurion about Dimona, Martin Sandler writes about Piper.
It's edited by a Jew. It's edited by a creepy fucking Jew.
Jew!
Oh my damn.
Ah!
Shut your goddamn mouth!
Of all the conspiracy theories, it remains one of the most intriguing. End of quote. It is, in fact, a theory widespread.
Man, I always fucking thought it was cool, man. When this fucking Dune Coon Gaddafi would go, the shit that he would wear to the fucking UN would just make me laugh. It was like, you know how people always want to see whatever fucking weird satanic motherfucker at these stupid Satan in award shows? What are they wearing? It's like, oh man, Gaddafi's going to the UN. What's he wearing?
Really, nigga?
Really?
In Arab countries, Libyan leader Muhammad Gaddafi believed it.
Kennedy الذي قرر أن يفتش مفاعل ديمونة. وأصر.
Man, look at them fucking, look at them sunglasses on that Dune Coon, dude.
على تفتيش ليتأكد من أنه يصنع أسلحة ذرية وإلا لا. ورفض الإسرائيليون وأخيرا.
I think it's Gene Simmons, man. I think it's Gene Simmons, and he was just pretending to be Gaddafi. And it's really Gene fucking Simmons, that disgusting kike. Look at that Brillo pad hair. I think we're onto something. It just came to me. Gaddafi is Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons is Gaddafi. Who can put the fake fucking... Oh, hold on. You know what?
أصر هو على التفتيش كان المخرج من هذه الأزمة هو استقالة بن غوريون استقال حتى لا يوافق على تفتيش مفاعل ديمونة وأعطى الضوء الأخضر بقتل كينيدي وهكذا قتل كينيدي بسبب مفاعل ديمونة وصراره على تفتيشه بسبب صراره على تفتيشه قتل كينيدي.
On September 23, 2009, Gaddafi had the guts to demand a new investigation in front of the General Assembly of the United Nations. Several investigators have identified Lyndon Johnson as the mastermind of the Kennedy assassination. It is beyond doubt that the plotters acted with the foreknowledge that Johnson, who immediately stepped in as head of state after Kennedy's death, would cover them. The context of national crisis enabled Johnson to bully both justice and the press while achieving his life's ambition. Johnson not just benefited from the plot, he participated in its elaboration. As a former senator from Texas, he could mobilize high-ranked accomplices in Dallas to prepare the ambush. Johnson also exerted a tight control on the Navy, where he had obtained the privilege to name his Texan partners as Navy Secretary, first John Connally in 1961, then Fred Korth 1 year later. Johnson's connection to the Navy is an important aspect of the case because it is under the control of Navy officers that Kennedy's counterfeit autopsy was performed in Washington after his body had been literally robbed at gunpoint from Parkland Hospital in Dallas. The autopsy report from the Navy Hospital stated that the fatal bullet had entered the back of Kennedy's skull in contradiction to the unanimous testimonies of the Dallas Hospital staff. Contrary to a widespread but erroneous belief, Lee Harvey Oswald had been recruited not by the CIA, but by the Navy. He was a Marine, and as a Marine, he had worked for the Office of Naval Intelligence, ONI. Johnson had actually taken advantage of his connections in the Navy to participate in the greatest corruption ever recorded at that time. His accomplice, Fred Korth, was forced to resign as Navy Secretary in November.
I promise I'm listening. I'm not abandoning you. I'm working right now.
1963.
Gene Simmons is a filthy Jew, Busco Crusader. He's a filthy, disgusting kike.
Many weeks before the Dallas...
He's just a Jew. Just a disgusting Jew.
Who, after the Justice Department, headed by Robert Kennedy, had implicated him in a fraud involving a $7 billion contract for the construction of 1,700 TFX military aircraft by General Dynamics, a Texas company. Johnson's personal secretary, Bobby Baker, was charged in the same case, and the scandal was about to blow up on Johnson's face. Because of this mounting scandal and other suspicions of corruption, Kennedy was determined to change vice president for his upcoming re-election campaign. While in Dallas the day before the president's visit, Richard Nixon publicized the rumor of Johnson's removal, as the Dallas Morning News reported on the morning of November 22. Instead, Johnson became president that very day. Many Americans immediately suspected Johnson's involvement in the Dallas coup, and all the more after the publication in 1964 of a book by James Evetts Haley, A Texan Look at Lyndon, which portrayed Johnson as a man of unlimited ambition and corruption. According to his biographer, Robert Carroll, Johnson had, quote, a hunger for power so fierce and consuming that no consideration of morality or ethics, no cost to himself or to anyone else, could stand before it. Robert Kennedy himself suspected Johnson, whom he had always despised and mistrusted. He is reported as saying, "Johnson lies all the time. I'm just telling you, he just lies continuously about everything. In every conversation I have with him, he lies. As I've said, he lies even when he doesn't have to." End of quote. Through the years, a great amount of evidence and testimonies have been gathered against Johnson in the killing of John Kennedy. The evidence incriminating Johnson does not conflict with the evidence against
It's fucking Gene Giudice. It's Giudice. I told you I was working. That's pretty good.
Against Israel, both trails converge in the person of Jack Ruby. The hypothesis that Ruby acted with knowledge of Johnson's involvement is a likely explanation for some of his odd statements to the Warren Commission. He insisted on being brought to Washington to speak directly to Johnson and added, "There will be a certain tragic occurrence happening if you don't take my testimony and somehow vindicate me so my people don't suffer because of what I have done." End of quote. He said that he feared that his act would be used, quote, "to create some falsehood about some of the Jewish faith," end of quote, but added that, quote, "maybe something can be saved if our president, Lyndon Johnson, knew the truth from me," end of quote. Ruby seemed to have attempted to send a message to Johnson through the commission, or rather a warning, that he might spill the beans about Israel's implication if Johnson did not intervene in his favor. We get the impression that Ruby expected Johnson to get him out of prison, just as in 1952 Johnson had managed to avoid prison for his killer Malcolm Wallace, although found guilty of first-degree murder on Johnson's sister's lover who had tried to blackmail Johnson. Yet, Johnson did nothing to get Ruby out of jail, and Ruby was sentenced for life. Ruby's sense of betrayal explains why in 1965, after giving a brief press conference, Ruby implicitly accused Johnson of Kennedy's murder.
"I want to correct what I stated before. He was vice president. Remember I stated? Yes, I did when I mentioned about Adlai Stevens. If he was vice president, there would never have been assassination of our beloved President Kennedy.
Is this plan again?
Well, the answer is the man in office now."
Ruby's full statement to the
world. And everyone's like, "Oh, he's just saying that. Yeah. But the boomers always said that Oswald was a patsy.
And commission was leaked.
But of course, the boomers think it was the CIA.
To journalist Dorothy Kilcullen and published in the New York Journal American in August 1964. Kilcullen also interviewed Jack Ruby and boasted afterwards of being about to break the real story and publish the biggest scoop in the century. But Kilcullen was found dead by an overdose of barbiturates and alcohol on November 8, 1965. As for Ruby, he was put into solitary confinement and he died in 1967, officially from a rapidly spreading cancer.
Yeah, right. A turbo cancer before there was such a thing.
Jack Ruby is not the only element connecting Johnson to Israel. Far from it. In truth, Johnson had always been Israel's man. His electoral campaigns had been funded since 1948 by Zionist financier Abraham Feinberg, president of the fundraising organization Americans for Haggadah Incorporated, and a key financier in the Dimona project. It is the same Abraham Feinberg who...
Just start looking at all the fucking hook noses, the big dipping hooks. Always surrounding...
After the Democratic LBJ. Primaries in 1960, made the following proposal to Kennedy, as Kennedy himself reported to his friend Charles Bartlett. "We know your campaign is in trouble. We're willing to pay your bills if you let us have control of your Middle East policy." It was also two strong supporters of Israel, Washington Post publisher Philip Graham and his main columnist Joseph Alsop, who finally convinced Kennedy to take Johnson as his running mate. Most probably, they blackmailed Kennedy with proofs of his adulterous adventures, of which Edgar Hoover, a close friend of Johnson, was well informed. According to Evelyn Lincoln, Kennedy's personal secretary for 12 years, quote, "Jack knew that Hoover and LBJ..."
You mean the old Jewish sex trap, the old Jewish blackmail with sex technique. Of course, now affairs don't work because everyone has them, because we've become a degenerate society. Speaking generally, we are not like that. We are good white people here in this chat, in these chats. White is right. Tuning in. What's up, man? Bass as fuck. He wasn't here when I was glazing him earlier. I told everybody how you make videos of everyone equally, and you just make fun, because that's like comedians make fun of each other. We used to have fun making fun of each other. And people fucking, he didn't make one. He made one about, he's fucking just playing around. Anyway, it's great to see you, brother. White power.
"It would just fill the air with womanizing," end of quote. Whatever the real nature of the blackmail, Kennedy once apologized to his assistant, Hyman Raskin, saying, "You know, we had never considered Lyndon, but I was left with no choice. Those bastards were trying to frame me. They threatened me with problems, and I don't need more problems." And so it is that John was forced to choose Johnson as vice president by the Zionist network, despite the fierce opposition of his brother.
The Jew network.
In 2013, Associated Press reported about newly released tapes from Johnson's White House office showing LBJ's personal and often emotional connection to Israel. An article from the Five Towns Jewish Times, running under the title "Our First Jewish President, Lyndon Johnson," elaborates on the end. And after recalling Johnson's continuous support of Jews and Israel in the 40s and 50s, then his role in the crafting of the pro-Israel UN Resolution 242 in November 67, concludes, "President Johnson firmly pointed American policy in a pro-Israel direction. In a historical context, the American emergency airlift to Israel in 1973, the constant diplomatic support, the economic and military assistance, and the strategic bonds between the two countries can all be credited to the seeds planted by LBJ." End of quote. The article also mentions that research into Johnson's personal history indicates that he inherited his concern for the Jewish people from his family. His aunt, Jessie Johnson Hatcher, a major influence on LBJ, was a member of the Zionist Organization of America. In an additional note, the article said, "The facts indicate that both of Lyndon Johnson's great-grandparents on the maternal side were Jewish. The line of Jewish mothers can be traced back three generations in Lyndon Johnson's family tree. There is little doubt that he was Jewish." End of quote. The Jewish and the Israeli press occasionally refer to Johnson's secret Jewishness and often remember with gratitude his Israel-friendly policy. Whatever was the reason of Johnson's loyalty to Israel, it is a fact that, thanks to Johnson, Israel could acquire its first atomic bomb somewhere between 1965 and 67, and carry out its plan to annex Palestinian territories beyond the boundaries of the United Nations partition plan. By leaning on the Pentagon and CIA hoax, who had previously been bridled by Kennedy, Johnson intensified the Cold War and created the climate of tension which Israel needed in order to demonize Egyptian President Nasser and reinforce Israel's own stature as an indispensable U.S. ally in the Middle East. During the Six-Day War of 1967, Israel managed to triple its territory while creating the illusion of acting in legitimate defense to the applause of the American press.
Good night, AnnieGov, 1983. Stay swole, stay jacked as fuck. Keep naming and shaming.
The lie could not deceive American intelligence agencies, but Johnson had given the green light to Israel's attack and even authorized James Angleton of the CIA to give Israel the precise positions of the Egyptian air bases, which enabled Israel to destroy them in just a few hours. 4 days after the start of the Israeli attack, Nasser accepted the ceasefire request from the UN Security Council. It was too early for Israel, who had not yet achieved all her objectives in terms of conquest. That is when, on June 8, Israel attacked the USS Liberty, an unarmed NSA spy ship stationed in international waters off Sinai.
They dropped napalm and strafe its decks with rockets, cannon fire, and armor-piercing rounds before trying to sink it with torpedoes.
We had no way to defend ourselves.
Remember the Liberty.
We were just slaughtered.
The ship was bombed, strafed, and torpedoed during 75 minutes by Israeli Mirage jets and three torpedo boats, while Johnson from the White House intervened to prohibit the nearby Sixth Fleet from rescuing it. Even the lifeboats were machine-gunned. The attack would have been blamed on Egypt if it had succeeded, that is, if the ship had sunk and its crew had been exterminated. The operation would then have given Johnson a pretext for intervening on the side of Israel against Egypt. But it failed. The USS Liberty affair was suppressed by a commission of inquiry headed by Admiral John Sidlem McCain II, father of John McCain III, who recently...
What a shock. It's all one fucking big club. And we're not in it.
He supported ISIS terrorists against Syria.
Everyone in the national security team recommended arming ISIS.
Johnson accepted Israel's spurious targeting error explanation. What's more, Johnson rewarded Israel by lifting the embargo on offensive military equipment. U.S.-made tanks and aircrafts immediately flowed to Tel Aviv. This failed false flag attack is evidence of Johnson's secret complicity with Israel, implying high treason against his own country.
Many of Johnson's closest friends and advisors were pro-Israeli, and they reported back to Tel Aviv on his every move. The Israeli story constantly shifted to counter whatever new intelligence the White House received. So sensitive were these communications that the Israelis used code names to protect the identity of their White House agents. But for the first time, the members of the ring can be named. Hamlet was a million-dollar fundraiser for the Democrats. When he rang, Johnson took his calls. He was Abe Feinberg.
Joe!
Menashe was Arthur Goldberg, the U.S. ambassador
Joe!
To the United Nations. Harari was David Ginsburg, a high-profile
Joe!
Washington lawyer who also represented the Israeli embassy. Ilan was Supreme Court Justice Abe Fortas.
Joe!
Lyndon Johnson had dinner with him on the eve of the Six-Day War.
Oh my damn!
The U.S.-Israeli relationship proved to be stronger than the killing and injuring of more than 200 Americans.
In conclusion, besides the fact that John and Robert were brothers, their assassinations have at least two things in common, Johnson and Israel. First, their deaths are precisely framed by Johnson's presidency, which was also marked by other political assassinations, such as Martin Luther King's. Johnson was in control of the two investigations on John and Robert's murders. Secondly, in both cases, the central element that contradicts the official story strongly suggests the implication of the Israeli deep state. In the case of Robert, it is the choice of the manipulated Patsy, which was obviously meant to disguise Robert's assassination as an act of hatred against Israel. In the case of John, it is the identity of the man tasked with killing the Patsy, a Jewish gangster linked to the Irgun. These two common elements in the Kennedy assassinations, Johnson and Israel, are themselves closely linked because Johnson was a man acting for Israel, just like Ruby, although at a higher level. The evidence for Johnson's secret loyalty to Israel includes his high treason in the USS Liberty affair. The causal link between the two assassinations then becomes clear. Even if Robert had been pro-Israel, which he was not, Israel and Johnson would have had a compelling reason to eliminate him before he got to the White House and reopened the investigation on his brother's death. In order to solve the mystery of John Kennedy's assassination, we simply have to look into the two other assassinations that are connected to it. On the one hand, the assassination of Oswald, the man whose trial could have exposed the real plotters, and on the other hand, the assassination of Robert Kennedy, the man who would have reopened the case if he had reached the White House. And both of these assassinations bear the signature of the Israeli deep state. The Kennedy assassinations are obsessing the American psyche and corrupting its character. The sense of a terrible truth hidden by the government is making America deeply neurotic, like a repressed family secret affecting the whole personality. This lie buried into the deep state has rendered Americans vulnerable to other lies, just like any lie creates a predisposition for new lies and even the need for more lies to cover it up. Having fallen deeper and deeper under the control of Israel, America is now morally corrupt and haunted by its own lies. Conversely, exposing one lie will make other lies fall one by one. That explains why there is still today, more than 50 years later, a determination from the corrupt American Zionist-controlled leadership to keep the truth hidden. This is also why unveiling the truth about the Kennedy assassinations is so crucial and will lead inevitably to unveiling the truth about 9/11 and to a new awareness about the other lies by which the United States and the world have been drawn into wars against the enemies of Israel. Carl Jung, the psychologist of the collective unconscious, said that the mythical character of a life expresses that it has a historical significance. The life and death of the Kennedys have such a mythical dimension. The Kennedy dynasty embodied the Irish Catholic root and branches of the American people, with all that it represents in terms of antagonism to English Puritanism, the most Judaized branch of Christianity. This antagonism goes back to the martyr of Ireland under British oppression. During the Second World War, the Republic of Ireland remained neutral, refusing to ally itself to the British.
God bless the Irish.
Joseph Kennedy was then a leading figure of the isolationist. Like Charles Lindbergh, he believed that wealthy Jews were pushing the Roosevelt administration into total war against Germany. After the war, an increase in Jewish cultural influence and a decline of the Irish Catholic voice could be observed. In that context, the presidency of John Kennedy was, in the collective psyche and the destiny of the United States, of great spiritual significance. This meta-historical significance of the Kennedys did not escape the Zionist Jews, inhabited by the supremacist geopolitical project of their ancient scriptures, and placing all their hopes in their ability to influence U.S. foreign policy in favor of Israel. There is, in the Kennedy tragedy, a providential meaning. This is why the light on this affair will mark the beginning of the end of the mental control exercised by the Zionist movement on America and the West in general. One day, hopefully, the Kennedy brothers will receive in the United States the national recognition they deserve as heroes and martyrs in the fight against Israel's global crime.
I don't think we need to see the funeral coverage because that was kind of blackpilling, very insightful, obviously, but kind of blackpilling. We're not going to wrap it up on stuff like that, but I learned a lot. For instance, I don't know, JFK going to the United Nations and saying we're going to return like thousands of Palestinians to their ancestral homeland. I mean, wow. And I think we all learned a little bit because we discussed it, just touched it the other night. And we all assumed that because Joseph Kennedy was a fucking wealthy motherfucker, elitist, rigged an election, that he was probably did a lot of business with Jews. But I think if we look into it, maybe that's not the case. They were clearly anti-Zionist for sure, 100%. But it seemed like they named Jewish. I thought that was pretty cool, man. That was pretty cool. Wow, it's 2:48 a.m. and we've got to leave on some good note. And I already know exactly where to go for my good stuff to always get everyone pumped up. At least nice and white peeling. I will tell you that we'll talk about this on
today. I am proud to announce.
Whoa, Sunday, or maybe even tomorrow night. If I might surprise everybody, but probably not because I'll be wore out by them grandkids.
Announce the official alpha launch of my site, SocialSentinel.net. This website represents the culmination of all of my work on overrepresentation of Jewish individuals across a multi.
Okay, so the Leather Apron Club. I do want to announce this and put the link into the chat. It's the Social Sentinel. It's a Jew naming site.
Multitude of walks of life. What started off as just a spreadsheet detailing the levels of overrepresentation on Joe Rogan's podcast has exploded into a database of more than 1 million names and counting, and dozens of organizations, which demonstrates in a systematic and undeniable manner that Jewish people are super overabundantly represented in a great multitude of arenas in the West.
Okay. We're going to talk about that on the next show as well. That's fucking awesome, don't you think? I mean, remember the Rockwell, the famous thing where he's like, I had to spend $30 to get my, I spent a lot of money to get my hands on this sucker. And he's like, who's who among international Jewry?
Hell yeah, brother.
Oh, Busco Crusader.
/.
Thank you very much, my man. /, to you too, sir. What a great, fantastic project. And the Leather Apron Club, that guy is going to put all of his, I believe it's going to be legit. Something to bookmark, something to have in the channel description, I think. Yeah, we're gonna get into it. And I might do a stream tomorrow night, just in case. Because it'll be late, like 11. It'll depend on how, like, you know, how, if it's busy, I'm just going to watch stream, or I'll just, whatever. But if it's not busy, like right now, not busy. Then I might pop in. Well, I'm not at this late, but you know, if it's not busy. But there's, let me see, what do we got? What do we got? I know we have some cool stuff. We got some stuff to get the mood right. Okay, we're going to just watch a few clips as we exit the show. Okay? Some white pilling, some cool shit. And, I want to thank everybody for hanging out. Man, we didn't have any troll problems. No troll problems, which is always great. I'm always a fan of not having any troll problems. And all you guys are great. Your time is so important. Remember, it's valuable. Spend it wisely. I'm going to have a great day tomorrow morning. It's going to be breakfast. I haven't eaten breakfast. I love you guys too. Thank you, 14Mo88. We're going to have breakfast. It's going to be peepaw, pawpaw, tank time. That means I'm going to be busting out my RC truck that I haven't messed with, that my stepson got me. And we're going to have some fun. And I'm going to build some jumps out here by the shop. Maybe we can even, we can get it like back up here in the shop and like, yum, right, have the garage door open. And there's a slight decline. I'm not here off stream. There's a slight decline, and then boom, out into the grass from the. Oh, we're gonna. I love. Thank you, Viking Girl, too, for being so awesome. I turn into a total kid. That's the fun thing about being a grandpa, is that, you know, hopefully when you're a grandparent, you're at a stage of your life where you can relax. You're not worried about putting your kids through college or if someone's going to abduct them at the age of three, you know, or when they first have a slip and fall and, oh my gosh, we're going to have to call. Why did my light turn? Wow. My light just went. It's not one of those lights. It's a smart light. Thank you very much. That's all you guys. Thank you. You got a four-wheeler for the grand? Oh, no, I don't have one. I told the parents when it comes to four-wheelers, I'm going to let them do that because here in the rurals, all of my, like my stepchildren, my friends, me, all of my class, we all know more than a couple people who have gotten killed on a four-wheeler. I love them. We all ride them, and I'm sure they're going to ride them. But I'm going to let his dad, like if he says, hey, yes, then I'll do it. But I'm going to cross that one. They already know. I said, hey, I'm buying the first bows, please, because you get the first gun. That's your right, your dad. But I'm going to have such a fun time. But, you know, you've got things pretty much figured out. You're not worried about there's no ball rolling behind you. And the camera is fucking nice, isn't it? Thank you very much. I was like, wow, I just got to get, you know, fine tune the chroma key. And I think I actually need a new, I'm just going to get one of those green screens that gets right behind me and pops straight up. And then I'm going to take the cloth that I have, the curtain, and like put it over my chair and around the desk and stuff. Until I get the wall put up behind me and have like funny shit. You know, that'd be so cool. Like get 70s wood paneling, man. 70s wood paneling. Yes, the right of return would have been 750,000 Palestinians. It would have been a big deal. Thank you. I'm going to probably start monitoring this chat some more because I lost now like 80% of my white-pilled audience. So I'm not leaving, but I like to chat with people. And if you invest your time in me, I'm not going to shit on you and ignore you. Thank you. Yeah, it's a big deal. James Phosphine still hanging out too. Cool. I'm really thankful for you guys for stuff like, you know, I want to get back to the wall, but I do want to say if I put every penny back into the stream, I'd run out of computer equipment. But I'm going to have the wall built and just gonna be like, yep, got the wall. Wall's done. Here it is. Here's the money. Thank you, guys. And I just got to have him have the time. But yeah, I was like Cedar. What's up, my lying eyes? I would like Cedar because the smell. I love the way Cedar looks. He is an expert in Cedar. It's his specialty. And picking out the right trees. This guy's, he's been doing it for years. And I actually want to enclose this whole corner into a studio. And like nothing big time professional, just a little private, you know, and kind of like just be a little private. And have a wall behind me and I can have a couple of cameras. And just have some fun with it. You know what I mean? And the bugs, Cedar with bugs. Yay! I got to tell that my pest control people, I've got to pay extra now to have them do this shop. It's considered an extra building, an extra home. Like, so it's just going to, but it won't double my price. It'll just one quarter. So it'll be half of double. So that's not bad. 25% increase to come out here. Because remember the crickets when I didn't have my audio figured out? Anyway, I could go on and on. But I love you guys. Thank you very much. He said Mackie board. I want a road, but I want to make this. I want to have it more like this is cool. I like playing with the backgrounds and I still would have fun. But I want to have my. Yeah, I'm not. I like the fact I love I've wanted to do it for a while, but then when you watch Hammerstream, it just reminds me of sometimes I just want to just me, and this is what surrounds me, you know, and I can go and find the craziest, stupidest, weirdest, funniest, goofiest family looking portraits. And every once in a while, I'll swap them out. You know what I mean? Not all this base stuff. I mean, yeah, I might have some base thing here or there, but no, I want to have fun. My personality. I want to reflect my personality. And not just with some art, but like with fun, with real stuff that you can see. And, but anyway, I want to say thank you. Well, we're going to get this stuff ready. I want to say thank you to all you moderators, all you VIPs. We got some new viewers. If you haven't followed, our new followers, if you haven't followed, go ahead and follow. And like I said, doesn't matter what anyone's feelings are about anything. You can make an account in here and be just someone who doesn't have an axe to grind with anyone in particular that may or may not stream on any in particular platform. You can come on all these platforms and chat in my platform. We're cool people, man. We just have one rule. You just keep your feelings about the owners of platforms to yourself. And then we can talk shit about each other. Ain't that right, Dan Deasy? You like crickets? That's gay. I love crickets too. Great fucking bait. So thank you again. Your time is awesome. Get a PFP for all new follows. That way, you know, and there's no denounce the Talmud shit because the Talmud says you can lie. That's a retard. That was the most retarded shit I ever saw when I first started coming around Goyim TV. Those is fucking not going to go there. We got a couple of clips to watch as we get out of here. Thank you to also Busco Crusader, Chucky, Busco Crusader, Moon Conf, and Duckweed for your generous shekels. And I appreciate you. And you know what? Good old Googer Fart. He tried, and I appreciate that. I appreciate you watching, most importantly. Now, we got one right here, another one we've seen. Viking Girl, I seem to have lost. I disabled the auto-delete timer, and I had all this stuff saved, and it's gone that you had sent me. So I'm ticked off, but we're going to go with this one right now. Thank you, Retro Archives. You are the man. Hey, feel free to grab anything you want and throw an editor or two out there. Send your Cash App. Stop signs, but we didn't see the light. Didn't see the light. Falling. I love you, brother. I miss you, man. Let's not give up too soon. Cause we can make work. But baby, it might hurt. So tell me, am I worth it to you? Do you wanna fight for us? You know.
conflict will shift to a definitive race-based conflict, whereupon fascists will strive to hold their ground at home and form the front lines of the broader conflict.
So much fun.
Because somebody had to. Blacks are raping and killing white people on the streets every day. What I did is still minuscule to what they're doing to white people every day.
Call it hate crime, but we do it because we find this shit amusing.
Fox News Media.
Everything that is beautiful and amazing and strong and honorable and virtuous in the society. Creators of higher culture, and we are being replaced and outbred and mongrelized with lower castes, lower races. Its purpose here on Earth is the preservation and advancement of itself. Its purpose here in life is to replicate, is to reproduce in a better form than it previously had, to teach the instincts and skills and everything else to the next generation so they can continue the process ad infinitum, forever.
It's a fucking heavy bag. Holy shit. Damn it, man. God, hey. Everybody out there, tell folks you DM me. Me and him were talking, and then boom, we were talking in the chat. I think I'm hard to get a hold of sometime with DMs. So I'm going to do my job. But, you know, just throwing out, hey, man. So we're going to have an actual outro. You know what I mean? We got to get it on out of here. Got to fire it up. Bafo, A-Tone, is this Retro Archives edited? I have to check. 9-inch nails. Let's fucking go. Name the Jew. I might see you tomorrow or on Saturday night. Who fucking knows? I heard that people are scared to stream on Saturday night. I'm not scared. Let's go. White fucking power. I'm gonna jam out to this. Hell yeah.
White pride. Tough guy pull up and get smoked. dope like the stuff I roll up. Fuck you, stuck my whole nut. Fuck a faggot, wanna fuck my donut. Pew pew, bye bye, no luck. Drag you from behind my tow truck. Mud shark with her eyelids swole shut. She gon' die from a violent throw. Fuck. Trump steam got me walking on a tightrope. You made me wanna hang a nigga from a light pole. Bitch, you dealing with a motherfucker psycho. Fuck you hanging around a motherfucker cackle. Fat foe, touchdowns like a cyclone. Shine so bright on a mic that I might throw. Every minute immigrants are coming out the pipe hole. Fuck you, bitch, America for white folk. I see a cheating get the bob and a thing. I'm gonna shave a little bit off of the top of the brain. You better hope that when I see you, I don't cock in a bang. I take a cotton pick a monkey and I lock him in chains. Look, I know that being white is never fucking a thing. But you'll always be a nigger and that's not gonna change. Bitch, white boy, grew up on a block in a gang. You see the flame and I'm putting some hot in your brain. There, you shit shark while you're fucking at a reggae tank. That motherfucker always acting like a mecca day. Me a nut, deep in the gut. I know that every faggot dream of fucking me in the butt. Ugh. Mixed up, sex and violence. Trump scene, left wing Biden. You believe it, then it's Epstein Island. No names, just death being silent.
Jews in Hollywood, they bowed out to Baal. Fingers on the scale, driving in the 9-inch nails. Bison drives in 9-inch nails. Skies hold rises, signs and trails. Rise hold bison, timeless veil. Christ is life, is dying in hell.
Ain't nobody's up in hell, bitch. Down there with a teeth nest. You get the motherfucker heat rash. Think fast, I'll wither away like wheat grass. I can see through you like a cheap glass. Vigilante. But nowadays they wanna see me turn into a tranny. You ever see a supermodel turn into a fatty? They get body positivity and turn into a baddie.